The following is a presentation of Team Glory Sports.
Tonight on 97.5 Glory FM, it's a cross-county matchup between the Cherokee Bluff Bears and the West Hall Spartans. Cherokee Bluff, one of two teams locally that's undefeated. They haven't played in a couple of weeks, but they start their Region 8 AAA action tonight against the crosstown rivals and the West Hall Spartans, who won four of their first five games of the season, but lost their first region game last week against the powerful Jefferson Dragons. It's at the hot gates of Spartan Field as Cherokee Bluff takes on West Hall and Friday Night Football in North Shores as we kick things off with the Long Street Cafe pregame show. And it's time to kick things off now.
97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ Radio presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Welcome to the countdown to kickoff of tonight's game with the Long Street Cafe pregame show. Let's go to the field for tonight's game on 97.5 Glory FM.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the hot gates of Spartan.
As you can hear, we are here at the hot gates of Spartan Fields. First Friday night in October, it's a Region 8 AAA matchup between the Bears and Cherokee Bluff and the West Hall Spartans, along the entire Glory Sports team. Gary Glass, Joe Gailey, Harper LaBelle, Mike Harper with you here from the top of the press box here at West Hall High. This one should be a lot of fun, guys. Joe, Cherokee Bluff, undefeated, has not played in 3 weeks. That's going to be a big thing right there in my mind, buddy. Them. For West Hall, they had really no business playing that game last Saturday, not practicing on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They had to take on a team that might win the state championship in Jefferson.
Yeah, West Hall, they come in 4-2, and like you said, you know, they played a very good Jefferson team, and they did it without they missed a couple of days of practice and then played it on that Saturday. And had they known that GHSA was going to move things back a week, they probably would have opted to play it that last week of the season and give them an extra day in there. And like you say, Tommy Jones Bears, they're 5-0. This will be their first region game, and it'll be interesting to see how they react their first region game, because it's been 3 weeks since they played, and that layoff might affect them some.
Well, you're here from Coach Jones on game plan. It's like, you know, the big thing, are they going to be rusty at all? That's right. A big question going into tonight's ball game.
I think it will, and I think you might see it on the penalty side of it more, Harper, than you would anything, because with that rustiness, the offensive line and defensive line, they're going to be anxious. They're going to be ready, wanting to get in there and tangle it up, if you will, and I think that might be a big thing for them there, Harper.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the biggest issue, just like in baseball, you know, with the playoffs coming in Major League Baseball, you get those teams that are playing in these wild card games, and the better teams have to sit for a while. Mm-hmm. And being undefeated, being a better team, and you can't wait to go and to 21 days without playing, that's a long time. So yeah. I agree that the rust might be a factor, and how quick can they get over that, put that little whatever abrasion, take some steel wool and get it off so that you're playing at full speed, because you're certainly going to need it for region play throughout the rest of the year.
Exactly right. And, you know, with West Hall this year, you know, they're averaging offensively 33.8 points a game, 7th in 3A. Cherokee Bluff, however, is 4th in 3A at 38.2 points per game. Defensively, Cherokee Bluff is 8th in 3A with 12.8 points allowed. West Hall is 21.5 points per game, which is still not bad, but you're going to see, you might, and we always call it wrong, so I'm anxious to see if it's going to be an offensive explosion or a defensive battle.
And Joe, one of the big questions also is looking at the power rankings, mm-hmm. and how important that's going to be down the stretch with games in the region. Is right now, Cherokee Bluff is number 5 in the state in AAA. West Hall is number 23 in the top 32. We got much more to count down to kickoff of tonight's ball game. It's a cross-county matchup between the Cherokee Bluff Bears and West Hall Spartans. We're back and more with the Long Street Cafe pregame show after this on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hi, Hope Bunch, the voice of Long Street Cafe.
Mary, did you know Long Street Cafe supports great programs like FCA? Northeast Georgia FCA is working to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes.
And they do a great job of making their mission work through the E3 strategy of making disciples who make disciples. I remember that from my days in school.
Yeah, FCA has been around a while.
Hey now, find out more at GHCFCA.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
At Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation. The new ideas in our industry that lead to better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business.
To be an innovative cooperative, I believe we always have to be looking at how we are handling our member experience.
Innovation is really important to Jackson EMC. It's our role to really make sure we're on the cutting edge of these new changes in technology that are coming to the power sector.
Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nix, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Clint Fair, the North Georgia Director with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, here on 97.5 Glory FM Friday Night Football. If you could, please join us as we pray to kick off this Friday night. Lord, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for who you are. God, help us tonight, God, to look to you in all things. Thank you for the tools and the gifts that you've blessed these coaches and athletes with as they perform all across North Georgia, competing in this great game of football. God, watch over, protect them. God, help us to live for you. Help them to live for you. God, we thank you for radio stations like 97.5, Glory FM. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. God, we love you. Again, watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome back to the Long Street Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
We get ready for the kickoff of a nice ball game between Cherokee Bluff and West Hall. We had the playing of the national anthem here at the Hot Gates at Spartanville. It's homecoming here this evening also. And, Joe, the always big question is, Harper, will it be a distraction for the home team tonight?
Well, you can't ever tell, Mike. I mean, you know, we had the last Saturday, we had the game, you and I did, over at Wire Branch, the homecoming. And I don't think that was much of a distraction there. It went very well. Hey, Coach Chuck Graham with us, joining us up here. And we, you know, the game was a very good defensive game, and I don't think it had much effect over the players because they played very well throughout the contest that night. So I don't think it affected them. Now, they've been in school for a week. They didn't miss any school like the kids in South and East Georgia have. So it may play a little bit of difference. You never know. And plus, they've been able to have a full week of practice this week.
Joe, did you have a good-looking date for the homecoming dance after the game? Because if you did, that's probably not a distraction for
that,
you.
That answer would be no. I never had a date to homecoming. I always went by myself and helped take up money.
There you go.
But Harper, we do have Gary Ben, who I call our Burt Parks. He's down the hill describe.
See, you guys are so distracted thinking about, you know. So I went to an all-boy high school. I didn't have to worry about any of that
and
stuff.
And last, Gary, I'm depending on you tonight because I had to describe the gowns last week, and I did not do a good job.
Well, they were gorgeous, right, Gary?
Yeah, exactly. Like I went to a homecoming dance one time with one of the girl basketball players. She's about a foot tall. But, you know, she's a really sweet girl.
Sweet. She can dunk on you, that's for sure.
Absolutely. No question about that.
Yeah. Hey, when you're faced with a situation like the Bluff was faced with, when you not play the game for now 21 days, you know, you sort of know that, and you kind of prepare for that a little bit. I don't think it's a substitute for playing games, but you look and you work and you tweak and you know, the stuff that you maybe needed to work on a little bit during that, and you got some extra time to work on that. Plus, if you've got a bump or a bruise here, you can afford to rest that for a little while. So I think they might be a little bit slow and rusty coming out, but I think they're going to be healthy, and that might not be a good news for the Spartans. Their key has got to be, and Harper, you and I talked about this a little bit, if you can contain Brett Sturm and
Elijah Hayes,
then that's your job. And nobody else has been able to do that very much with the exception of a couple of games they lost, but even in the games they lost, Hayes was still able to pick up some yards. So the thing about it is you can bend and bend and bend, just keep them out of the end zone when they get in the red zone.
Yeah, and you mentioned Hayes. Hayes is in the top five in the state in rushing. He's got 903 total yards. He's averaging 181 yards a game. And, you know, he's playing very well this year. Even in the loss last week, he still played well. So, you know, if he can get on track and get loose tonight. Now I think we heard Coach Crofton Montgomery say to you, Gary, a few weeks ago, you don't necessarily, in that game, you didn't want him to carry that much, but you got to get him conditioned to carry it 25, 28 times a game in games like this because he may have to.
Yeah, and then on the other side, the offense, the Bluff offense has been rolling right along, you know, even though they haven't played in a while. You know, you still got Brooks Bryan's got 1,032 yards already. Then you got that two-headed monster they have of running back slash receivers, and I classify them kind of a little bit as both, of Connor Griffin and Jackson Perkle, and they've got over 200 yards a game in receiving and rushing. So, you know, the Spartans have got their work cut out for them here.
Well, Gary, you know, the funny thing is, if you heard game plan this afternoon, tonight on 97.5 Glory FM, I was talking to Lee Coleman, and the Lions and I are playing down at Bethlehem Christian, and Brooks was a starting quarterback, remember, last year for Christian. And he said, you know, the funny thing is that Brooks, they didn't want him throwing the football when he was at Bethlehem. And then it's like, okay, he comes back to the Bluff. First thing you see what Tommy Jones has done, and the young man's throwing as well as anybody we've seen in a long time.
That's right, and their defense is playing awfully well. I think they're ranked number 8 in defense.
Yes.
They give up less than 13 a game. Yep. They score over 38 a game, which is fourth in offense. The games that West Hall has not lost, they've been fairly respectable on the defensive side. They give up about 22 a game, but in the losses that they've had, particularly last week, they got a little bit spanked by Jefferson, they've given up over 41 a game. So they've got to take care of the ball. They've really got to, I don't want to say play a perfect game because that's almost impossible, but they've got to play a near mistake-free game. And hopefully their big guns of Sturm can find some receivers that are open. Hayes can find a crack or two in that defense, and they can make this thing respectable, if not even, you know, conceivably pull an upset.
But, Gary, the big thing is from the standpoint of West, I heard one thing Coach Croft Montgomery told me. Well, the co-defensive coordinator this year, helping out Chris Griffin at Cherokee Bluff, is his former defensive coach at West Hall. So they got an advantage knowing about this West Hall team, I think, as we get ready for tonight's ball game. Gary, Joe, Harper, and I are back after this 2-minute timeout. You're tuned to the Long Street Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
Give me an L, give me an O, give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Long Street Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Long Street Cafe with two Gainesville locations.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
On-time service and experience matter for your home's heating and air system. For more than 40 years, Conditioned Air Systems has been North Georgia's solution for residential HVAC installation, maintenance, and repair. Family-owned and operated, we deliver the highest quality service on any brand and model with no hidden fees, promising 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Comfort you can feel, quality you can trust. Visit ConditionedAirSystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Now, back to the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
It's Cherokee Bluff and Westall from the Hot Gates at Spartan Field. Time now for the starting lineups with Joe Gailey.
Thank you, sir. Westall, Crofton Montgomery's team comes in 4-2, 0-1 in Region 8-3A. The projected starters on offense on the line, you'll have number 73, Chance Armour, number 66, Ryder Cato. Daniel Standridge will be the center, wears number 54. Anthony Earl, a guard, 51. And 71, Kendrick Tarnia will be a tackle. The receivers will be number 16, Ethan Clifford. Number 12, Daniel Altamanaro. Number 28, Kamani Harrison. And number 11, Nassar Alou. The quarterback will be Brett Sturm. And the fullback will be Elijah Hayes. Defensively for the Cherokee Bluff Bears, they're 5-0, and this is their first region game in 8-3A. They'll play a 3-4 defense. Tony Rushing will be on the line along with number 60, Hudson Davis, and Ben Craig wears number 66. The linebackers are 47, Caleb Cooper, 43, Brett Pierce, 7, Rylan Ackerman, and number 24, Connor Griffin. The cornerbacks, 8, Dylan Haley, and 15, Tyler Underwood. The safeties, Landon Kemp wears number 2, and Colin Muirs wears number 3. On the other side of the pigskin, on offense for the Bears, you will have on the line, you'll have Jordan Maddox wears number 78 at the tackle. A guard will be number 55, Cohen Carter. Center will be 73, Aiden Willis. The other guard will be Grant McElroy, number 58. And number 66, Ben Craig at the tackle. Tied in will be Bryce Fontenot. The receivers will be number 6, Malcolm Millsap. 14, KT Thompson. In the slot position will be number 1, Landon Kemp. The quarterback, Brooks Bryan. Fullback will be Caleb Cooper. He wears 47. And the tailback will be number 24, Connor Griffin. On the defensive side of the football for West Hall, it looks like a 3-4 defense. You got 75, Kayvon Blockham. Number 55, Shelton Maynard. Number 53, Zamari Vaughn. The linebackers will be number 11, Nassar Alou. Aiden Rainey wears number 8. Zach Wagner wears number 6. And number 2, Tytrez Statham. The cornerbacks are number 5, Marcus Pugh. 0, Armand Long Jr. So the safeties will be Therese Williams wears number 1. And number 12, Daniel Altamirano. The kickers will be Garrett Harper. He'll kick both place kick and punter for Cherokee Bluff. And Junior Avila will do the same for the Spartans.
And our crew tonight, a veteran crew to say the least. Referee is Ray McAllister. The umpire is Rodney Beck. Head line judge is Paul Ball. Mickey Carroll is the line judge. Field judge is Mitchell Jones. Side judge is Stephen Caudell. On the game clock is Mark Jones. And on the play clock, it's Jeremy Frazier. These people have probably forgotten more football than we'll know. They've seen so much. I think they were there when Red Grange was suiting it up.
Now you're talking some old school way, right there.
Yeah. I know. Joe had a full head of hair when Red Grange was.
Hey, John guys. Heisman, Gary.
Yeah. Real quick, if you're inside right now, go step outside. This is one of the most beautiful sunsets. You're only going to get it for another couple minutes. What a gorgeous spot here at West Hall here at the stadium.
It is something gorgeous.
Wow. And it won't be as loud tonight. Also, Ryan Phillips, the voice of the Spartans, not with us this evening as we celebrate homecoming.
Did he quit? For him. What happened with Ryan?
No,
he quit, didn't he?
Feeling for him is...
Does he need an ear surgery?
We'll find you about these. But filling in for him is Reverend Caleb Lang, who is the minister of music at Flat Creek Baptist Church.
Oh, boy. He's playing. He's going to play it loud, too, because it's never loud enough for the music man, is it?
We'll see. We roll out the thunder here in a few moments with Caleb from that standpoint. But we'll hear Mr. McAllister, as we say, when Gary's ready to flip the coin. And he will not let Gary flip the coin, I don't believe.
No, he may not. You got pretty lucky with Keith a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Captains for tonight's game, Cherokee Bluff will have Landon Kemp, number 1, number 7, Rylan Ackerman, 14, Caden Thompson, and 24, Connor Griffin. For West Hall, you'll have number 2, Tytrez Statham, number 3, Elijah Hayes, Aiden Rainey, number 8, and number 14, Brett Stern. Those are your captains for tonight's game.
Hey, Gary, the rumor is that when the referee gave you the coin, you didn't want to give it back. You wanted to hold on to that piece
of
silver.
Yeah, it was a Kennedy half dollar.
Yes, sir.
I haven't seen one of those in a while.
They don't make them anymore.
However, he did elevate me to the status of local legend, and I do appreciate that.
There you go.
I'm not exactly sure what that meant, but nevertheless, I will take all compliments as they are intended.
There you go. Good deal.
Yeah, your ego won't get too big with a local legend, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Just a local.
Just a local. We keep it here in the neighborhood.
Ray's over there looking at you right now, so I'm pulling at you.
Yeah,
so
he's pointing at me.
He's like, Gary's time to do this.
Yeah, he's going to come over and talk to you now and say, I want my half dollar back.
Cherokee Bluff will be in all white. Looks like white helmets with the purple trim, purple numbers. West Hall is going to be all in gray. Thank you, with the navy blue numbers trimmed in white with dark headgear. So hopefully we can catch those numbers tonight. It's not near as hot as it was.
I'm going to leave that up to you, Joe. I may have to ask for a raise if I'm going to have to. Well, you wear a dark, what would they call it, mercury gray uniform with navy numbers. Thank goodness they're outlined in white.
For real.
Well, oh, my goodness. When we had Complex last week, Harper, we proved our validity and able to help spot these numbers on hard-to-read uniforms.
Well, I think the good thing about all of that is the weather is in our favor.
Yes.
If it were raining cats and dogs, I just have to say it was so-and-so has the ball. That's Joe. And then Mike's carrying it next time. We'll give it to Mike Wofford.
You meet down there as the captains shake the referee's hand on this side. They'll walk out to midfield. The head official says, hey, I'm ready. Now they'll walk out there. Gary will walk with them.
I have to admit, guys, even though this is still early and the bands have kind of been playing, we have a good crowd. Gary, if you turn around, I mean, it's from sideline to sideline. And Cherokee Bluff is here tonight. Yes. They came out, and they're all wearing their purple. They've got a reason. They're undefeated. And the kids especially. You got to know the parents and all that. But the chaperones, moms and dads are out here.
A lot. It's close to get here, too. You know, these schools are only separated by about 4 or 5 miles, and that's a good thing for them, too.
All right, let's take it down the sidelines and down the field, get with Gary.
Here we go.
I'll be right. Gentlemen.
Gentlemen, it's Mr. Beck. I'm Mr. McAllister. All night long. When we ask for a captain, one of you please. There's going to be times I'm going to look at you and say, just say yes, sir, because I know your coach wants the penalty without that. And if he doesn't want it, we'll fix it, okay? We'll fix it if he doesn't want it. You're going to call a toss, correct? I have a Kennedy half dollar. President Kennedy is heads, and the eagle on the back is tails. You're going to make the call. I'll relay that call to Mr. Beck. We'll let it hit the turf and go from there, okay?
All right.
Your call?
Heads.
He called heads, Mr. Beck.
It is heads.
And waiting for
it. It's heads.
It's heads, so Bluff's won it.
Is there some kind of a thing going around now that the Kennedy half dollar is the official toss in Hall County High School football?
It must be.
Yeah.
So
looks like Cherokee Bluff won and deferred.
They're going to defer. Okay, yeah. Coming up next is the kickoff of high school football on 97.5 Glory FM. Stay tuned. It comes up next.
Hi, Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe.
Mary, did you know Longstreet Cafe supports great programs like FCA? Northeast Georgia FCA is working to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes.
And they do a great job of making their mission work through the E3 strategy of making disciples who make disciples. I remember that from my days in school.
Yeah, FCA has been around a while.
Hey now, find out more at ghcfca.org.
97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Tonight's game is brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC,
Duplicating Products, Riverside Pharmacy, EMC Security, Siphon Logistics, and by North Hall Tire and Wheel. It's time for the kickoff of Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ.
Well, what it's time for is to bring the thunder, Joseph.
Yep, as the West Hall Spartans about to come out behind that fog that's blowing up here right here at us. We'll have to cover up. It's coming right at us tonight. The wind's blowing back this direction. And it was funny when they came out, Harp, I don't know if you noticed. Of course, Cherokee Bluff came out first, and they're used to running to this side. Well, three or four of their guys kept coming to this side. One of the referees had to come over and say, no, go to the other side.
Yeah, I was thinking, boy, if that's part of the rust, let's get that off quick. You got to know what sideline you're going to be on, gentlemen.
Get it out of the way. So they're all squared away on that side. West Hall fixes to come out of the tunnel down right here below us, basically, with that fog and smog, as I'll call it, that smoke. Now they're bringing the thunder, as Mike says. Zach Wagner will lead them out of the tunnel, and they'll come all the way out and rip through the big homecoming banner of 2024. Like I said, they're all in gray tonight with the navy blue and white trim, navy blue helmets.
And Joe, I'll tell you how time flies, but Gary and I were here for the first game played at this building, at this facility here at this stadium, back in 1990. 35th anniversary of playing here with the homecoming game here at the home of the Spartans, the hot gates of Spartan Field.
So can Harper and I call you and Gary old then? Is that what you're saying?
What do you mean, can we? We already do.
Yeah. I thought that was...
did they have the amphitheater sound, THX, music and everything like that, Mike, back 35 years ago?
No, they didn't.
Or did they have a little guy there with the monophone, right? Let's go.
Yes.
Believe it or not, we did have electronics back in 19.
Well, right. You've told me the dinosaurs were playing back with you guys.
I think we had to chase the mammoths off the field at practice.
But, the big thing is Spartans hit the football to start things off.
Elijah Hayes, Shaka, Rory are the deep men. Garrett Hyder will kick it off for the Bears. We are underway. Right here in a second, as toes fixing to hit leather, the head official says, let's do it. Hyder approaches, and there's the kick. High, deep, end over end. It's going to come down. Wow. Hit right on the end zone line and bounce through the end zone. It'll be a touchback and come out to the 20.
I think the return man was hoping it would kick out at the one so they could get better field position.
I was hesitant, Gary. I thought it was going to do the same thing.
But it didn't. It hit it, and then it kicked out through the end zone to the side of the end zone. So they'll just get it right there at the 20.
Stern will come out. Elijah Hayes back there with him. Wideouts on either side. You got Altamira on one, Nassara Lou on the other. You got four wideouts, two on either side. One's a tight end. Looks like Clifford in tight there. Now they're moving the man out. That's Clifford. Stern's got the signal. He's moving. Now the backers are moving back. He's moving the man in motion. Going to ring him around this way. Tries to cut inside. Going to get about 2, maybe 3 yards. That, I believe, was a Lou, wasn't it? Number 11?
Yeah, it wasn't Hayes.
Yeah, 23. Yeah. That was 23. Yeah. And it was Shaka Roy. Okay.
Ben Craig on the stop. They make that three-man front. They'll walk the linebackers and the cornerbacks up. They'll sometimes make that thing look like a seven or an eight-man front.
Got 2 yards on the first carry. Now we're underway here from the hot gates of Spartan Field. Second down, 8 yards to go. One man behind the quarterback. And that's Elijah. Elijah waiting to get the man. He's hit immediately. He bounces off a guy. Now he gets away on the far side. He's still on his feet going the far side. Wow, he bounced off three guys down there, fellas, and was able to get positive yardage. Landon Kemp rides him out of bounds on the far side over there. Kemp playing one of the corners or defensive back positions. They got a yard out of it, but, man, he came off of close to losing three or four there, Gary.
That's the strength of Elijah Hayes. That should have been a 4 or 5 yard loss, it turns into positive.
You know that, Gary? Look at this is the third time we've seen the Bluffs so far this season. The games ahead against Lumpkin County and North O, they were all over the offense.
Third down, about 7 yards to go. Ball's on the 23 yard line, just a tad over the 23. Three wideouts on the near side. Elijah's behind him. He's going to get kind of a reverse going the other direction. He's going to get up to the 25 and maybe got out to the 26 before he's knocked out of bounds on the far side. Well, that time was number 15, Tyler Underwood, rides him out of bounds.
In effect, when you run that pistol formation like that, it's like Elijah's playing the tailback in the eye.
Yeah.
Because the quarterback is midway between him and the line of scrimmage. He turns around and hands it. You got to have a speedy back to be able to do that. And he got positive yardage again, but not enough for the first down.
KT Thompson back to receive his fourth down and five. Junior Avila will punt it. He'll kick it about his 15. One man coming on, a pop-up. Going to be not a good kick, but it's rolling this way. It's going to hit at the 46 and roll out to the 47 and be down right there at the 47. So 22-yard kick is all they got out of that one.
21, 22 yards. They're not what they wanted. I think a lot of height, but no distance at all.
Exactly. Didn't give KT a chance to return it.
And that 7-2, Joe, Coach Crawford Montgomery told me on game plan, he mentioned number 14. Didn't call him by name, but he knows he's out there.
He knows he's out there, exactly. KT's a playmaker, so is Landon Kemp. There goes the bunch of geese coming over there, Harper. And they're going from east to from west to east.
Do Bears like geese?
I don't know.
They might like them for lunch.
Quarterback Brian back. Had one man on him. Throws it way up in the air. A floater. He's got a man open. Malcolm is that? No, he dropped it. That was number 6, Millsap. Yeah, Millsap dropped it right there. Oh, right in his hands, about a yard open.
That hurt me. And I'm an old lineman. I mean, that was perfectly laid in there.
Yep.
And he was smelling that end zone. He said, baby, I got 6. Watch me do this. Whoops.
Yep.
Whoops.
He was thinking about scoring. Had a yard buffer between him and the defender right there, Harper, and just dropped it.
Yeah, that might be a little bit of that rust that, you know, we haven't played in a real game against other opponents in quite a while. So hopefully he gets a chance, Millsap, to make up for that, make amends for that mistake, and help his team to win a little bit later tonight.
Second and 10, couple of miles in motion there, get set. We got 3 receivers now, 1 on the near side. Going to throw it on the far side to KT. He gets around one guy. That was
pass complete to number 14,
KT Thompson. KT Thompson got about 3.5 on that one. Tackle right there brought by Nasara Lou, number 11. About a 3-yard gain from the 47 down to the 44. They're in positive territory, in Spartan territory. Third down, about 7 yards to go for the Bears.
Spartans and Alou did a good job of stringing out that screen pass right there and holding very little yardage. Alou, pretty good-sized guy. He's listed at about 190, 195 pounds.
Thompson and Kemp on the near side. One guy's in a slot. That's Fontenot. Brian looking to pass, complete, right in there to Kemp. Kemp's going to grab it and get all the way down to the 32-yard line. Got a first down.
Yeah, around his ankles.
Yep.
Daniel Altamirano.
Got a 12-yard gain. About a 12-yard gain for a first down.
And Joe, you know one thing, Joseph, if knowing Landon, his baseball skills, if it's going to come close to him, he's going to catch it.
Yeah, yep.
That's a perfect strike, too. Right across the middle, laid it right up about face mask high. He reached up, snatched it down, hugged it to his bosom and got the first down, and that's what they wanted. They weren't going for the home run. They just needed to get a first down and keep the chains moving.
Exactly. First down at the 32. 9 minutes here in the first quarter. Region 8, 3A game, the Bears and the Spartans. Going to hand off this time to Perkle keeps it, but he's going to be only gets about a yard down to the 31.
Flag.
Injury. Got an injury.
Okay.
Guy's down.
That was Shelton Maynard, all 6'2", 285 pounds of him, which smacked him.
We
got somebody on West Hall's down.
Yeah.
He went down right as the play started. I think he's a safety that was
holding a knee.
13. Is that 13?
Can't tell the number right
12.
Now.
12. Sorry.
12?
Yes.
That'd be Altamirano. He's one of the receivers and top defenders, too. Coach Crofton's out there. Trainer's out there.
They're working the knee. That's not good. Sometimes, you know, you just plant it on this turf, and it takes a funny grab of your cleats and you twist that thing, and that's what you get. You're laying on your back, having somebody look at your knee. The next thing you know,
Daniel, a senior. He's been a 3-year starter, if I remember correct, Mike, for the Spartans, 2 or 3 years. Anyway, I remember hearing his name for a couple of years. Trainer out there working with him. Now right there at the 26-yard line, 8:42 in the quarter. Both teams over at their bench.
And what that's doing. Let's go take a timeout.
30 seconds because he's up.
Yep. Okay, he's up. Just keep right here then, Nathan.
All right. Morano's up.
Good way to get up, buddy.
Trying to put weight on it, but he's going to put his arm around his trainer. He's still putting weight on it, but it's gingerly.
Well, that's good news.
As he comes off. Yeah, it is.
He is walking, though.
Yeah. Give him a little support there, but he is walking off. And as a trainer, I can say, now he's trying to do it on his own. As a trainer, I can say that's one of the toughest things for guys that are shorter like me than the players, because you're trying to walk them off and you're trying to not hit their leg on that side every time. I've had to do that several times in both sports in my training days, Mike, and I'm always worried I'm going to hurt it worse as I come off the field with them. All right, back in action. Second down, 9 yards to go. Ball's on the 31-yard line. Brian behind center. Or actually, he's in the shotgun. Throws it right over the middle. Kemp gets it from behind. He made the catch. He got it down to the 22-yard line. Zach Wagner in on the stop, and it'll be a first down. He got the basically nine, maybe 9.5 yards. He got the first down to the 22, maybe 22.5-yard line. It'll be another first down for the Bears.
Really hard pass to defend. Just straightened up and threw it.
Yep.
Look at Harper. He's like our Drake London of the Falcons. When you need a first down, give it to Landon.
Yeah, he found a spot in between a linebacker and a safety, and he just sat there, and the ball was right in his hand. So a good job between the quarterback and the receiver of getting the ball out quickly to the guy that is open.
They move. They're going to give it right up the middle this time. They're going to give it off to Jackson Perkle. Perkle goes off tackle on the far side.
By number 11, Mr. Jackson Perkle.
Jackson gets about 8 yards, but 7 yards down to the 15. It'll be second down and about three. Good run right behind Carter and Willis that time.
Second down for the
Joe, they jumped into an unbalanced line to the left, a strong left that time. They went to the left, had those extra blockers out there.
And that back, they're going to give it to number 24 back there. It's Connor Griffin. Connor trying to hit the corner. He's going to get the first down to the 10, maybe the 11-yard line, but he's got the first down. He picks up about 4, maybe 5 yards. But Connor gets the first down. We saw him last year run really hard, and earlier this year run the ball. You've got Griffin and Perkle that can run the ball extremely effectively for the Bears.
I mentioned that in the pregame.
Yep.
They're combining between their rushing and their receiving 200 yards or more a game.
When you got some output like that, you can kind of shift them pretty easily there, Gary. That's for sure.
You don't feel uncomfortable handing it to anybody.
First down and goal just inside the 10-yard line. 6:49 in the quarter. Going to hand off to 24 again, Connor Griffin. Griffin going to be driven back. We're going to give him only losing a yard. But that time, Cedric Backham came in there and made the stop for the Spartans. Second down and goal. The ball's only 11 now.
Yeah, Backham is listed at 250.
Big size young'un there, isn't he?
And the other guy right close to him, Maynard, is listed at 285.
But those three guys right there on the line look like they're pretty good sized fellas anyway. Ryan back in his shotgun. Got Griffin there behind him. One man in motion. That was Kemp. Looking to throw. Now he's got pressure. Looks out to roll at the far side. Does Brian. Now he's going to run. The five. It's the five. Ooh, he got stuck right there at the 2 yard line. Wow. That defender came over and bopped him.
Shazam.
At the 3 yard line. Wow.
I think that was Zach Wagner.
Yeah, number six. Zach Wagner came in and got thumped right there. Boom. I mean, he thought he was in the end zone.
Oh, he did.
He got boom.
Well, he had a clear path there along the far sideline, which is the Cherokee Bluff sideline, and Wagner comes from the middle of the field. And when he made contact with him, the head hit first, and then the feet were still up in the air going backwards. What an effective hit. No target. Yep. Hit him right there in the shoulder pads.
Third and goal at the one. Man in there late now, moving him over. That's number two. For them, Brooks are.
No, that's Dylan Haley.
They give it to the running back. He comes over to this side. That's number 14, KT Thompson, for the touchdown.
Yeah, he lined up in an empty backfield. The only one that was there was number 14.
Yeah, KT, that empty set, the Bearcat, if you want to still the Wildcat, the Bearcat. He lines it up and goes in for the first score of the game. 5:25 left here in the first quarter. They'll do the swinging gate. Garrett Hyder will be the kicker. Now they're going to move everything around, and you got a pink flag on the field. So you got somebody that moved. So illegal procedure on the offense. And that's one of those, when you have that all that moving parts there, Harper, that can be one of those rusty parts, you know.
I agree. And they haven't scored in 3 weeks,
yeah,
which isn't a bad thing. It's just they haven't played. But that, oops, somebody yeah moved when they shouldn't have moved, and then everybody moved when they shouldn't. And that does affect your kicking. As you notice, they didn't do the swinging
exactly
gate anymore. They went straight up. Just line up, guys.
We'll slide it up, and we'll go from there.
Yep.
The left-footed Hyder will stand in. Brian Holes, the kick is up, and it is good. Bears lead it 7-0 with 5:25 in the first.
They complete a 10-play drive to score the first touchdown of the ball game. Cherokee Bluff 7, Westall nothing on 97.5 Glory FM.
At Jackson EMC, innovation is an ongoing cycle, a process without a beginning or an end, where one idea leads to the next. Solar power, electric vehicle program, energy-efficient right choice homes, automated switch technology. What we do as an industry is vital. We keep communities powered, so we must always have an eye on the future. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
Go.
Shaka Rory will touch it around the 4-yard line and bring it back out, weaving his way across the 20 out to the 35, 36-yard line. But two flags, one from the kicking team into the field and one from the side judge. So let's see what we've got on the flags right there. Decent return by Shaka Rory for the Spartans. Good return there, Harper. He got it out. 32-yard return, but let's see what the penalties are going to do to him.
Yeah, he caught that ball right about where the numbers are and takes it to the middle of the field and actually extends it to the far side.
It's going to go against
him. But your buddy Ray McAllister, he's the star right now. He's still waiting here. They're moving in the direction of West Hall.
Yep. They got a flag. Now they're going to mark it from the 29. And the side judge is coming back there from the 25, excuse me. You know, mark it from there. Nope, going to be deeper than that there, Mr. Announcer.
Direction 15-yard line.
Yep.
First down, West Hall Spartans.
First down in the middle of the field, right at the 15-yard line. Didn't see the penalty, but it had to be a hold or something on the offensive
return team. It was a hold. Sorry about that.
That's all right. First and 10 now for Brett Sturm, Elijah Hayes.
It is our ball and our time to score.
Cherokee Bluff up 7-0. Monroe Avery over Jefferson 7-0. Single setback. Hayes over to the left of his quarterback. Three wideouts. Look, Sturm looking to throw. Now he's got a run. He's got a blocker on the far side out to the 15, the 20, the 23, 24-yard line. Run out of bounds on the far side over there by Tyler Underwood. And he got 9 of those back. Harper, they were on him. And Gary, they were on him pretty quick. And he rolled out of there to his right and was able to scoot over to the far side and get 9 out of it.
Well, he did a great job of avoiding the initial rush that came right through the middle and then gets to the outside and buys some extra time by faking to throw it downfield. And he ends up picking up 9, second and short.
Now to get to the 30, they're at the 29. Single setback, three receivers. Hand off to Elijah. Elijah tries to go outside. Looks like KT Thompson on the far side.
I don't think he got him.
It was Underwood.
No, he was.
He
Underwood
did not
got him. Underwood got him again. He was short, wasn't he? Yeah.
Well,
he might have lost a yard right there, Gary.
They pinned him against the sidelines. He had nowhere to move.
Third down, they're going to say no. Only back at that original line. Third down and 1. Ball's to 29, just a tad over.
24,
to 24.
24,
excuse me.
What I think, and again, I don't know what the defensive coordinator's doing, but they're doing a great job of getting initial pressure inside the offensive line, in between the guards, and I think they're trying to force Elijah to run inside. Don't get outside. If you get outside, we're going to lose this ball game. Hold on.
There's a flag, and we're going to have a timeout call by West Hall.
We'll take it with them. 7-0 Cherokee Bluff back in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
In the pistol, Sturm gets it off to Elijah. Elijah tries to go right up the middle. They meet him head on. I think he might have got it. Looking at the line, Judge, it looks like he's right on the 25. Yeah, the guy on this side said that's a first down, and yeah, they're moved the chain. So Elijah, with that line in front of him, with Cato, Sanders, and Earl, able to push enough meat up there and get a first down for the Spartans.
He needed a yard. He got exactly a yard. I mean, look at it. They put
right
it
on
right
it.
On it.
Mm-hmm. And they're not going to measure, as Mike and I talk a lot about. They don't bring the sticks out for any reason now. Three wideouts to the near side. Looks like Clifford, Nassara Lou, maybe Ridge Messador. Trips on this side, one man in motion. That's going to be
23.
Rory.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shaka.
Back to Sturm, back to pass. Looking long, trying to go to Shaka on the far side. He throws it too far over his head, about 3 yards. He was trying to go long, he just couldn't catch it.
Well, Sturm's got an arm. I mean, yep. He just sat there and flipped it. Yeah, I mean, just a little flick out there, mm-hmm. But he threw it too far.
You know, a couple weeks ago that when we were here, Gary, you remember Coach Crofton Montgomery talked about working on some things in the passing game that they've been a little rusty on there, so I'm sure they've been working on that this week after that Jefferson loss.
Yeah, that was hard for me to watch that last completion because even if he catches it, he's 6 yards out of bounds.
Yeah.
That just wasn't a well-thrown ball. He didn't have pressure in front of him. He got his feet set, so they'll have to make some corrections.
Sturm moves his receivers in a little bit. Now he's got three, but they're all in tight. Pitch back to Elijah. Elijah trying to cut outside. Now he cuts back inside. 35 to the 40. Get the first down out to about the 43, 44-yard line. Elijah Haynes with a big burst. And the tackle right there by Tyler Underwood.
Yeah, the senior caught him from behind, but boy, with another step or two, and he takes that one to the house.
Yes, sir. And they're going to say he was down at the 43-yard line. And that's about a, 11-yard gain? 13, about a 13-yard gain there. First down at 10, 3:41 in the quarter. Cherokee Bluff leads it 7-0. Single setback behind the quarterback who's in the gun. That's Sturm being chased out to the far side. Got to get rid of it. He does. He throws it a long way over to one of the guys standing out of bounds. But it was out of the tackle box, as they call it, and was able to do that.
Yeah, Tony rushing with great pressure there coming from the outside. Sturm wanted to get rid of it early, but because of the pressure, he had to go outside the pocket. He had to find a spot to square his shoulders up. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, he was looking for a Lou over there, but he just threw it. He had so much pressure on him, he just couldn't get his feet set to track him down that way. Lou was sort of in the same zip code, but that's about it.
Three wideouts, one on the near side, ball on the near hash mark. Elijah over to the right of his quarterback. Elijah gets the handoff. No, Sturm keeps it. Sturm is going to get hit at the 41-yard line and knocked down by number 7, Rylan Ackerman. Linebacker comes up and makes the stop.
He's a 6-foot, 190-pound senior, Ackerman. He diagnosed that well. They faked the handoff to Elijah, and Sturm kept it himself, trying to a little bit of trickery there, but it did not work. And, in fact, it brings up 3rd and 11.
Yep, loss of one on the play right there. Good job by Ackerman to read it and bring him down for a yard loss. The whole offense looks over to see what the play's going to be. Three wideouts on the far side. You've got Alou, Clifford, and Rory on the far side. Elijah straight behind his quarterback, Sturm. Get the snap. Sturm looks, running, got to throw it. No, almost intercepted. And Elijah almost caught it, but KT Thompson came out of nowhere and almost had a pick six right there, guys.
Yeah, it bounced off of Elijah's hands.
Yep.
He had him, and I'm not sure if it was a situation where he bounced off his hands and back into his chest or not, but it was kind of hanging up there a little bit, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
What's going to happen, Joe, is if Brett can not get more effective, it's going to become a one-dimension game with Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And Westall does not want that.
Exactly right. Now you'll have Junior Avila will be back to kick. KT back deep, standing at about the 16-yard line. High, good kick this time. KT comes in, grabs it at the 22, across the 30, the 35, and run out of bounds at the 35.
Pushed out of bounds.
Alou, Nassar Alou runs him out of bounds at the 35. They caught it about the 18, got back to the 35, about a 17-yard return.
So second possession, Joe, now for Cherokee Bluff, leading 7-0 here in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. 2:28 in the quarter. Cherokee Bluff scored on their first possession, a 10-play drive.
It was about a 39-yard punt, and Joe, with a 17-yard return. So your net wasn't really a whole lot, was it?
Only 22 on that on the net. First down, ball's just right at the 36-yard line. Brian in the shotgun, throws it on the far side, complete to his receiver over there, Millsap, or Dylan Mabee. Dylan down the far side, and that's going to be Haley gets it and runs down, gets the first down. See where they're marking him down at. They got the 49-yard line, a 13-yard pickup for the Bears.
He had another receiver out there running interference for him, threw a key block. It sprung him for that first down.
And the other time we noticed him against North Hall, we noticed him trying to do that earlier this year, guys, doing that against Lumpkin County, that first lightning delay game early in the year. They try to set two out there, and one's kind of a pick play, if you will, screening the guy where one guy can catch it and then take off with it, maybe have a block. Going to hand off to the running back this time. That is Jackson Perkle. Jackson gets tripped up around the 48 and flips over to the 45. So about a 6-yard gain. It'll be second down and four for the Bears.
Another tackle for us. Nasser Alou is all over the field.
He is.
Harper, you're seeing, though, how effective the Bears can be, though, getting 5-6 yards that first down play. What helps him with second, third down plays?
Well, I'm also seeing they're going to the outside right now. I think they like the edges of the field. Everything outside the hashes is where they're seeming to get most of their big yards.
Second down, 4 yards to go. Two wideouts on the far side. One guy, Caleb Cooper, in the slot. Handing off to Perkle again. Perkle with a hole. 40, 35, 30. One man to beat, and he does. 20, 15, 10. 5, touchdown Bears. 45-yard touchdown run and no flags on the play, 1:38.
One guy had a chance at him at midfield, Joe, but he did the cardinal sin. He left his feet and kind of dove at him, and all he had was an arm out there, and Perkle just broke right through that and took it to the house.
Well, as the University of Georgia proved last week, you can't tackle just with your arms, gentlemen.
You had to go there, didn't you?
Yeah, sure. Had to bring that up.
I'm a Georgia fan. And
half our listeners are now really mad at you, Joe, exactly. And the other half don't like you anyway. So how about that, though?
Mike liked that. I see a smile on his face. All right. This one is Garrett Hyder in the kick. He fakes that one. And
we got a flag.
Illegal procedure.
Yeah.
Again, they lined up in that closing gate again. They need to stop doing that. And when it closed, that's twice they've had to do that.
Yeah, Tommy Jones may want to reconsider that swinging gate.
Exactly.
Talk to a special teams coordinator about it.
Exactly.
Just tee it up and kick that thing.
Hyder, left footer. Ready? There's a snap. Hole. The kick is up. It is long enough, and it is good. 14-0 Bears with 1:38 in the first.
And we're back at 1 minute live from Oakwood here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
Shaka Rory catches it down inside the five, goes over to the far side, runs it up the sideline, and gets it all the way up across the 35 to about the 38-yard line. 38 is where it'll be, about a 37-yard return. He caught it inside the five, around the two or the one.
About the one, yeah, 37-yard.
Was able to bring it out on that far side there, Gary, and get a nice run, good blocking for him on that far side.
Yeah, he had the wedge kind of shifted over there. And planed it out, so they had a little bit of room down the sidelines, and he had a good return off of that.
First down, ball's on the 38-yard line of West Hall, 129 and a quarter. Cherokee Bluff up by two scores. Need to score on this, and four wideouts, three on the near side, ball on the far hash mark. Sturm with Hayes behind him, takes it, looks to pass. Complete, oh, just a little short. Right, he threw it a little low, his receiver that time, number two, was Tytrez Statham. And Statham had to come back a little bit, and it hit just his fingertips and hit the ground.
I'm not sure he had a good grip on the ball.
He may not have.
I looked at it, and it looked like he's still fumbling for the grip, but he knew he had to get rid of it. So he threw it under him.
A little bit better of a pass that time, Harper, if you will, but just didn't get it out there long enough to him.
Yeah, when you're at, what, 58%
yeah.
on the season, and especially in a big game like this, you sure need to have some accuracy. Goodness
gracious. That delayed handoff right there to Hayes didn't work. Counter, and they brought it back in there, and Caleb Cooper came back in and knocked him for about a five-yard loss back inside the 35 to about the 32, maybe 32-and-a-half. It'll be third down and 16 now for the Spartans.
That is what is known as the linebacker shot the gap and nobody touched him.
Harper?
Yeah, Gary, I was going to say please keep an eye on this because I am looking at great penetration from the front four of Cherokee Bluff. The offensive line now for West Hall is really struggling to get a hold of their guy and keep them out of the backfield.
Stern back to pass. Got to throw it in a hurry. Got a man over there and complete. Complete to number one, Torres Statham, but nothing there. He got a gain out to the 30, but they pushed him back after that initial hit. Boom, and knocked him back. So it'll be fourth down and 17 now. For the Spartans.
Well, Caden Thompson grabbed him around the waist and slung him backwards about 4 or 5 yards.
You know, KT, and Mike and I have had the pleasure of getting to know KT over the last couple of years and all the sports that he plays. But when you stand beside him, from up here you think, oh, he's not that big. You stand beside him, he's a pretty strong young man. He came up and gave me a hug last year after Lanier landed. I was like, whoa, put me down, dude.
Yes.
6'1", 195 is he's listed. He may be a little taller than that. He might have grown since they measured him.
His dad's a tall guy, too. Fourth down, 17.
They're showing the block. Nope, they're backing out a little bit.
End of the quarter.
The clock ran out right there. It'll be the end of the quarter right there, 14-0. Bears lead it.
And back in the second quarter, 1 minute, live from Oakwood on 97.5 Glory FM.
On-time expert plumbing service, Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. Our plumbers deliver the highest quality service in North Georgia 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We've been North Georgia's source for elite residential and commercial services since 1983. Our licensed plumbers offer services for installation and repairs of pipes, water heaters, septic lines, and sump pumps. Choose Conditioned Air Systems for quality service and unmatched knowledge for your plumbing needs.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Bushton, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Line of scrimmage is the
third. We get ready to start the second quarter. It's been all Cherokee Bluff so far, leading 14-0.
Spartans will be going from the left to the right as you look at the radio dial, basically away from McKeever Road towards the swamp, if you will. East Hall behind Oconee County, 7-0. Clark Central, Habersham Central tied at 7. Raven County 10-7 over Commerce. The punter back there is Avila. KT back to catch it. Avila has to go over to the side and a pop-up is spinning sideways. He's going to hit at the 49 and stop right there. KT runs up like he's going to take it. He's going to take a little bit of a Spartan roll down to about the 45-yard line. That's where it'll be dead right there. 24-yard punt on that one.
Boy, as soon as Avila kicked it, he just looked to the ground, shook his head. He goes, I missed it. That's because of the pressure. I'm telling you.
Yeah, the pressure, and he took like an extra step over there.
Well, he was hurried because he saw white jerseys right in his face, and you don't want to get that thing blocked, do you, Gary?
No, and then Sturm was over there. You could see that even at this distance, it was the body language was, okay, let's let the thing roll another 6 inches and get as much of it as we can.
Just underway, 11:46. You've got Brooks Bryan with one man in the backfield. Looks like Griffin. It is. Griffin gets it. Up the middle across the 45 to about the 48-yard line. Stopped by a gom of gray jerseys right there in the middle. Big number 78, 75, Cedric Backham in there on the stop. About a four-yard gain. Be second down and six. Forsyth Central and West Forsyth tied at 7.
Well, you don't want to be running right at Backham. As we said, he's 250, and he's pretty agile, too. So that's kind of like running into one of these poles down here.
Malcolm Millsap. Landon Kemp in at the receiver. Millsap, one running back. That's Griffin. Going to fake it. Bryan looking to pass. Got a man open. Oh, in and out of the hands of Landon Kemp. On the far side, right there around the 35, it would have been the first down easily. He just threw it a little ahead of him that time, guys.
Yeah, a little post corner or a deep out route, and he was open. He had some room running up the up the hash marks, and then breaks it out to the outside. Got hit right in the hands, but again, in midseason, you think that's normal, but after taking a couple weeks off, that's one that they hope that route will be open for not only later tonight, but throughout the rest of the season. Landon Kemp is a pretty good football player.
Yeah, Brooks really gunned it, too.
Yep. Jefferson and Monroe area tied at 7 now.
36.
Athens Academy up 6-0. Run to Bryan on the far side. 40, slides down to the 38. He'll be safe. They're going to say he's down at the 41 over there where he started his slides. It'll be a first down for Brooks Bryan.
And, Joe, I don't know if you want to do that or not. You've got two running backs. Don't let him run. Let him throw the football.
I'm kind of the same way, but
that's the reason he hit that knee. But he looked like he was on a slip and slide out there. He zipped down. He put his knee down and slid another 4 or 5 yards.
Yep. First down now. Ball's at the 41 of West Hall. Looking to pass. Jackson Perkle was the man in the backfield. He throws that one way out of bounds over here on the near side. Intended receiver was number 8 that time.
So another score for you from City Park. Second quarter, 7-0 Gainesville on Seckinger.
Dylan Haley. Seckinger is our old buddy Tony Lottie, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Armand Long Jr. was over there playing. They were getting a little kind of chippy over there, but there was a tiny little shove, but out of bounds, not catchable.
Prince Avenue up on Stevens County, 21-7. Jackson Perkle back in the backfield, offset to his left of his quarterback. He gets the ball in the backfield. One tried to wrap him up, but Jackson pulled away from him and still gets about 4 yards. He got a flag on the far side.
I think Barry Bullock, number 4, ends up grabbing a face.
So you mentioned that score in that region with Stevens 8AA. There are two really good private schools, the Hebron Christian and Prince Avenue, which could be the top two teams, which means power rankings in 8AA.
Exactly.
Yeah, that power ranking stuff, that's all over the place.
It is.
It's not only you, it's who you played and who's played.
Yep. Personal foul face mask against the Spartans, so that'll give them a first down inside the 25, it looks like, all the way down to the 21-yard line of West Hall, first and 10.
You know, and if you're West Hall, you don't need to be helping these guys.
Right.
They can do enough on their own.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You don't need to give them any freebies for sure. Commerce done jumped back on top of Raven County, 14-10 now. Big region matchup there. First and 10 at the 21. Fake to this side. Bryan looks rolling, got pressure. Tries to dump it over. Incomplete. KT Thompson, I think. Nope, 47. Caleb Cooper that time. Intended receiver. And Cooper in and out of his hands. Harper didn't watch that one all the way in, did he? Looked like he kind of wanted to turn up the field before
he got his hands on it, but between your hands and getting it into your body, there was a little rust. Telling you that these are plays that they make during the regular season. It's just they haven't played in 3 weeks, so they look a little sloppy.
What is that, 4 drops?
Yep.
Yeah, easily.
I think that's right.
Gary, yeah.
Second down, 10 yards to go. 2 wideouts, both on the near side. Now some guys flip-flop from one side to the other. Single back And that's going to be number 24, Griffin. Griffin gets wrapped up from behind inside the 20 around the 19.
Well, we know what
Maynard on the stop.
The Bluff obviously wants seven out of this, but we know what they're going to do if they get brought up fourth in a bunch.
Yep.
Third down. We've seen what kind of leg Garrett Hyder has.
Exactly. Hyder can kick it third down.
Connor Griffin's getting, he's kind of a little wobbly right now.
Let's put ourselves on our feet. It is third down.
He got twisted around on that, and I think his foot was planted in the ground when he had a bunch of weight put upon him from
that
other guy.
We got a timeout on the field, Michael.
We'll take it with him. We're back in 1 minute. It's now 14-0 Cherokee Bluff on 97.5 Glory FM.
As an electric cooperative, Jackson EMC must always have an eye on the future, exploring the newest innovations taking place in every area of our business. Ideas that lead to a better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business. Automated switch technology, iPads in the field, and internal networking that enable us to pinpoint outages, access complex mapping, and provide faster response times. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
A broken pattern.
Brian, back to pass, fakes the handoff to Perkle and throws it way over the head of the intended receiver, KT Thompson. So, I kind of like Gary, a broken pattern on that one or something, because he threw it way over the head of the intended receiver.
He got held up at the line of scrimmage or something. So, as predicted, if it's fourth in a bunch, Garrett Hyder comes out. This will be, a 25, so about a 36-yarder?
Yep.
35-yarder?
36-yarder, yep. And you've got... Number 13, Logan Wynn is the holder. The kick is up, and it's long enough, and it is good.
There you go.
17-0. Bears lead it with 9:32 in the first half.
And we're back with more in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
36-yard field goal by Garrett Hyder makes it 17-0. Cherokee Bluff in this Region 8 3A game with 9:32 remaining here in the first half. Shaka Rory and Elijah Hayes back deep for the Spartans down inside their five. Hyder with the kick. High, deep, but it's a little shorter than the last one. Going to come down. No, it's going to come down to two. Rory's going to bring it out across the. No, they're going to sandwich him in. That gets away. 10, 15, 20, 25. Wow, I thought he was going to be stopped inside the 10. Good job by Rory that time to bring it down on the far side and get it back out to about the 26-yard line, guys.
Yeah, he made about 23 yards out of that one. He probably should have been tackled after about a 3-yard gain.
No kidding. I mean, he came to a complete stop, and so did everybody else, and then he just hit the jets like what Barry Sanders used to do, going in opposite direction, and he ends up getting an extra 15 or 16 yards out of it. And it's pretty good field position. They're at the 26.
Well, this is probably the most important possession so far for West Hall.
Yep.
You've got to do something.
Well, you don't want to wind up giving them another shot here in this quarter. You'd like to have a long, sustained drive, get some points out of it. Three wide outs on the near side, ball on the far hash mark. Sturm with a running back right beside him. Looks like it is Hayes. Sturm going to look in the pass. Throws it right over the middle. Complete! right there. That time to Nassara Lou across the 50, down to about the 48-yard line.
Boy, then Dylan Haley came from behind and shoved him forward, but that was a heck of a lick right there.
It was a great pass, good catch by Lou, 26-yard pickup. First really good pass of the night we've seen by Brett Sternhopper.
Yeah, you had zone coverage there on that. You had two defenders on three with the safety in the middle, and Nasir does a fantastic job of just finding an open spot and getting that first down there inside Cherokee Bluff territory for the first time tonight.
Hand off to, looks like, the running back, Hayes. Hayes may have got back to that original line of scrimmage right there at the 48. No gain on it.
Yeah, somebody's probably getting chewed on the sidelines over there. They leave them that open across the middle like that.
I would think so. Tommy Jones, defensive coordinator, would probably say, isn't that Chris Griffin, Mike?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so Chris is probably over there under the tent saying, hey, you didn't do this. You didn't do getting on to him a little bit. Sturm looks over to the far side, sends a man over there on the far side that time. Hayes behind him. Three wideouts on the near side. Sturm looks, got to flip it out here to Hayes. Hayes catches it at the 45, to the 50. He run heads on with the guy and ran over him. But he's going to get down to the 44. Number three, I think. 5-yard gain, number three, made the stop right there. I believe it was
Myers. I think Caleb Cooper was also in there to help. But
Tyler Underwood.
That's what Hayes can do for you out of the backfield. He's got good hands. He's probably at least as good a receiver as he is a running back.
But, Gary, work with me now. Nobody was out there blocking for him. He was all by himself. Right. He went against three or four different defenders. A play like that, you got to get either a lineman or a back, somebody out there to kind of lead the way for him.
Well, you're right. You can't just put it on your stud hawk to let him do the whole thing all by himself.
Sturm up under center. Pitches back to Hayes. Hayes going to try and get outside to the 45. Cuts inside to the 40. See, he's going to be close to the first down. I think he's a yard short. Got to the 39.
Now, he did have somebody that time, Harper, out there blocking for him. But I'm also just seeing, I think Ray McAllister just threw a flag back here at the 50.
Okay. Yep, I see it right there at the 49, holding face mask on the offense.
Oh, goodness.
Ah.
It's a killer.
Yep.
An absolute killer. You got a good drive going. You got it manageable, if not close to the first down, and you do that.
You're fourth on about 2 feet, and with that, it's going to push him back. I would take the penalty if I'm Cherokee Bluff, but I'm not coaching, and I don't claim to be.
Well, here's another thing. Is it from the spot, or is it from – he hasn't marked it off yet.
Well,
if it's a face mask, it should be from the line of scrimmage.
He's got the flag back at the 49.5.
Yeah.
They're going to mark it off from where the end of the play was. So
here's a dead ball then, Joe.
Here's my thinking. You know, if it's fourth and 2 feet, you don't want to give it to him because that's going to be Elijah Hayes.
That's
going to
be
somewhere.
Third and about 15 now.
That's a long walk there by that umpire. Took him a long way. It took him some time to get there, but the ball's now back to the 46.
Four wide outs, empty set. Now Elijah moves over there, and he's going to come to this side. Sturm looking to throw. Finds a man. No, the man never looked at him. He was looking to block the whole time on the far side over there.
Is that Ridge Metzer?
Never turned around.
Yeah, I think that was Ridge Metzer right there, and he's a backup receiver. He came in for Altamirano, and Aiden Ramey. He was a receiver on that far side.
Yeah, he was blocking all the way. He never turned around.
And that's going to be fourth down. They'll kick KT Thompson back deep inside the 20 around the 15-yard line. Junior Avila will stand. He'll catch it around the 32.
Defense showing punt safe. They're not going to rush the punter this time.
Kicks it around the 36. Good high kick this time. No fair catch. It's going to hit down inside the 19 and roll inside the 10. Nice kick. Nice roll. Going to come dead around the 4-yard line.
About a 50-yard punt, isn't it?
49.
49-yarder right there. And they're going to knock it down at the 3 is where they're going to say is spotted. So 6:57 remaining here in the first half. Bears lead it 17-0, but they got 97 yards to go right now. A nice kick by Avila. He wanted to make it better than he did last time. Atone for himself right there, if you will, Harper.
Well, I'll take 49 over 22 any time. That's just basic math, right?
Exactly.
Didn't you learn that in ninth grade?
That's pre-algebra.
I can figure that out.
What school did you go to?
Brian up under center. Two running backs looking to pass. Got a man open on this side. Now the defender comes in. Over a catch. And he caught it. If they're going to say it's a catch, they say it is a catch around the 32 or 33-yard line.
The West Hall coaches were trying to say he was out of bounds, but I think he's, even if we'd had a replay on that, I think you're going to see his back hit, yep. And he slid out of bounds.
Malcolm Millsap actually had his back to the sideline, a 31-yard pickup. The defensive back allure on that side was basically face guarding him, and he was able to watch it right in his hands. Was Malcolm Millsap for the big first down catch.
What a huge play for the control of this ball game to say, we're backed up as far as we can, and you can't stop us on a deep route.
Clock's running, 6:48. Throws out to the far side, KT at the 40, 45, 50. One man to beat. Oh, he's going down the sideline, 30, 20, 10. Touchdown Bears. Flag, do I see a flag? Nope. No laundry on the field. That's a touchdown for the Bears. 66-yarder.
66 yards.
Two Dave plays, Thompson. 97 yards.
Yeah, two. I was about to say, Mike, that was a quick drive of 97 yards, wasn't it?
They're 4-for-4, Gary. Three touchdowns and a field goal now for the Bears.
Well, we were talking about them being rusty, Harper, but they've scored on all four possessions.
Well, KT isn't rusty. What's that, his second touchdown tonight? Yeah. Good for him. That young man has certainly turned the jets on, made a nice little fake like what Dion would do. I'm going to slow down, and then once you get near me, I'm going to put the jets on. He did that about the 40-yard line, and the rest of it was just a sprint to the end zone.
Yeah, well, his first one was a one-yard run. That was 66.
And he has accepted speed, doesn't he, Joe?
Hyder, kick up. And it is good, 24-0, 6:36 left in the half.
And we're back at the kickoff in 1 minute here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Shaka Rory, Elijah Hayes back deep. Garrett Hyder to kick for the Bears. They lead it 24-0. Good long high end over end kick. Going to come down to Elijah at about the 2 to the 5, the 10. Trying to get outside. Won't do it this time. Number 3, that is Cullen Muirs, comes over and makes the tackle. Great tackle right there, Gary, to come in and make it around the 12-yard line.
Yeah, and that's usually something you see is going to happen to Elijah Hayes very much. Normally he can put a move on you, but Myers did a good job that time of tracking him down and stopping him where he wants.
Yeah, first down at the 13-yard line.
Joe, two quick scores of Gainesville at City Park. Now 20-0. They miss a PAT. 20-0 over second there.
First down, ball at the 13-yard line, as I said. Three wideouts to the near side. One running back over to the right of his quarterback, Sturm. Takes it, hands off, fakes it to Hayes, throws it in the middle. A little low, I think it's an easy catch. Yeah, they're going to say it's complete out to the 21. Nice catch right there by number 16, Ethan Clifford. Plays tight end, sometimes goes out there to a wideout. Clifford comes in and makes a nice catch right at his shoe tops too, Harper. Good job to catch that one. He got 8 on the catch. Second down, 2 yards to go at the 21. Sturm moves over to one side, takes the ball, looks. Oh, he wanted to throw it in the big lineman. Came in there and knocked him down. That was number 12 right there. Came in and knocked him down. That is Bryce Fontenot, plays a tight end and also plays in the defensive backfield or in the corner position.
Came I think in and it was a tackle, stop. Right? Defensive tackle.
Yeah, it was defensive tackle that time. That's right.
6'1", 210. When Fontenot hit, you've been hit.
Fontenot shot in there past a couple of guys and made the tackle.
And they only had the three men. They only had the three down that time.
Yep. Fontenot's getting right there in the middle of like the line, like the nose guard, isn't he?
Yeah. Boy, what would they be if they weren't rusty?
Yeah. One man back, Sturm. Third down, about eight. Throws it over the top. Got a man in and out of the hands. Bounced off his hands. He went up high to grab it. Could not control it. That
Shaka
Warrior. Yep.
Pretty good defense by Tyler Underwood, too.
Tyler back there.
Got to give him some credit on that.
Shaka wanted that one, and if it hadn't been such lobbed up there, if he'd hit him in stride, he might have caught that one. He had to jump up high, and it went off his hands at about the 38-yard line, which would have given him first down. Now they got a punt again. Avila
getting a workout.
Yes, he is. He doesn't want to have the workout, but he's getting one tonight for sure. He'll kick it around the five. It's fourth down, about eight. KT back at his own 48. Barely got it away. Ball's going to hit on the far side around the 45 and take a Cherokee Bluff roll back to about the 42-yard line. Flag down at the 18, 19-yard line.
I'll tell you, 28-yard punt there. Pull the flag.
On this turf, that ball takes plenty of bounces on this turf.
Yep.
Joe, two scores for you. Second quarter, East Hall trails Oconee County 28-0 in the second quarter. And also in the second quarter, Dawson County on top of Johnson 28-0.
Mm.
Personal foul on West Hall. So that'll add to the end of it right there from the 42. And then we got a wait, well, we pointed the wrong direction. He said it's the first down, West Hall.
Let's go!
Yeah, something happened there, and West Hall's going to have the football. How about that?
The coaches were surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what happened.
Well, he went crossed arms, which usually means illegal participation or something.
They call personal foul.
Personal foul. But he pointed towards West Hall. So whatever it was, they flip-flopped, and it's going to be West Hall's football, I believe.
As I said, the coaches were surprised. Yeah. I don't know if you heard them in the mic. Let's go.
Gotcha.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's going to be on. Yeah, McAllister changed it, and it's going to be on Cherokee Bluff. So now they're going to come out, and they'll take it from the 43-yard line.
43, yeah.
But is it going to be?
It's Cherokee Bluff's ball.
Yeah, okay.
So
thank
I
you.
Guess they're going to call it a dead ball foul.
Okay. Yeah, yep. It's going to be a big question, Harper. When did it take place?
Yeah.
So now they redo the whole team again, get the offense off, get the defense back on.
Yep, Cherokee Bluff will have the football. They're at their own 43-yard line. Brooks Bryan, the quarterback.
Exactly.
Connor Griffin, and we got a whistle and a timeout, West Hall, with 5 minutes exactly here left at halftime.
We'll take it back in 1 minute here from West Hall on 97.5 Glory FM.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call.
On time service and experience matter for your
injuries
home.
Are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Back here at Spartan Field, after the kick, the punt, West Hall, or excuse me, Cherokee Bluff has the football. Connor Griffin in the backfield behind his quarterback, Brooks Bryan. Two wideouts, one guy in motion. That's Kemp going to flip it to Kemp. Kemp trying to enter around the far side across the 45 and gets stripped up as he tries to do a little pirouette there at the 48. He gets knocked down from behind at the 48-yard line. About a five-yard pickup, second down and five. Tackle in there by Therese Williams for West Hall. 4:41 in the quarter. Bluff up 24-0.
right behind me on the bench. Shaka Rory and Elijah Hayes are having a heart-to-heart. I'm not sure what they're talking about, but at least they're getting a little bit of a breather here. I guess they said, what can we do to get back in this thing?
Second down, 5 yards to go, two wideouts, one on either side, ball's on the far hash mark. Brian, back to pass, looking to go long. Got a man down there. Complete.
What a catch.
Wow, he caught it at the about the 18. Malcolm Millsap.
Malcolm Millsap, number 6 for the Bears.
Broke the tackle down there from.
Brought down by number 16.
Yeah, Clifford back there playing defensive back. Held on to him. I thought he was going to get up, but he makes it down to about the 12.
Ethan Clifford did about as everything you could possibly do that. That was just a tremendous throw and catch.
43-yard catch. 43-yard pitch and catch right there.
Well, you remember
Ryan.
That first possession, yep. Joe? First possession, Millsap missed one, mm-hmm. and they said, you know what, let's go back to this. So,
well, that was tremendous.
They knocked off a little of that rust, and they look pretty sharp right now.
First down at the 12. Timeout called by Tommy Jones and the Bears with 3:53 in the quarter.
Let's keep right here, Joe.
That's about as good a catch you'll see at any level of football right
just
there.
Just right, laid it right over his shoulder, and he caught it in stride, and he got tackled in stride, too.
Nice I thought job. There's no way he's hanging on to that ball because he had it right on his fingertips, and he pulled it back to his chest and hit the ground and still hung on.
A couple of score updates for you here in the first half. Jefferson on top of Monroe area, 17-7. Elbert County on top of Providence Christian, 21-0. Collins Hill on top of Buford, 7-0.
Well, that's a low-scoring game, isn't it?
Yep. Stevens County losing to Prince Avenue, 35-7, 28-0. Oconee County over East Hall. Raven County trails Commerce, 21-17. Jackson County on top of Appalachia, 16-0. Wolfpear Gainesville, you said, was like 20-0 a while ago, Mike. And Dawson County up on Johnson by a bunch. Now we got a flag. Must have a late substitution. Offsides on the defense. Yeah.
I saw one of the big linemen jump, break mm-hmm. the plane into the neutral zone.
Athens Academy up on Banks County, but it's only 14-6.
Quarterback does a really good job of barking out signals and having one guy go into motion mm-hmm. who's close enough to the line of scrimmage. Westall players doing his 5 push-ups.
Yeah,
one for each yard that he just gave up right there.
You know, I know he doesn't have to do that, but I like that in the player. He takes it serious enough to do that during the game.
I made a mistake. I own it.
Yep. First down now. Ball's at the 7-yard line. Brian going to hand off to Griffin. Griffin pushing. Going to get dropped down around the 3.
Not sure if he got the first down. He's real close.
Going to be a bat. Ball got to get to the 2. It looks like they're at their 3.
Yeah, they marked him at the 3 then.
Yep. Yeah,
Tytrez Statham and Aiden Rainey in on that stop there. Brought him up just about a yard shy of the first down.
3:30 left in the half. Cherokee Bluff with the lead.
So he's got a yard for the first down and 3 yards for the touchdown here on second down.
They can do whatever they need to. Connor Griffin back in the backfield again. Caleb Cooper, the fullback. Brian up under center, takes it, hands off to the running back, 24, Griffin. Griffin's going to be short. He got the first down, but he's going to be inside the 1. Good tackle right there by, it looked like Nasora Lou, and now on the tackle on this side is he's a cornerback.
And one of them got the wind knocked out of him
down?
Or something. Yeah, he's down.
Yep.
I'm not sure what
the big man right there.
He's going to have to come
he's
out.
He's up, but he's.
First down, 1 yard to go.
He's holding his. That's holding his helmet as he comes off there.
Tetra I think that's Statham, isn't it?
Is that Statham, Tytrez? Yeah.
Is it 2 or 0? I can't.
That's 2, I believe. Yeah.
It's 2. It's
Tytrez Statham comes off with the assistance of the trainer. Might have got one of those stingers, as you call them, Harper, right there. He's holding that left arm. Yeah.
6-inch line.
Yep. Yeah.
Anybody that's played football has had one of those, and it ain't no fun.
Brett.
At the 6-inch line.
In the backfield. Now the 6-inch line, first and goal. Quarterback will take it himself, and the tush push works. 30-0, Bears. Yeah, Brooks Bryan, the quarterback, scored on that one.
Touchdown.
Give him credit for a yard gain touchdown right there.
Yeah, give him credit for a yard, but it wasn't that.
No. Anything under a yard to get credit for a yard. unless you're in South Georgia way back in the day, because Pulpwood Smith used to get about credit for 5 yards every yard he touched the ball, I think. That's why he had like 90 million yards in his high school career. They're going to do the closing gate, swinging gate again. Let's see if another flag closes. It does not this time.
Joe, I'm sensing bitter. Party of one. Your table's ready? Bitter? Joe, your table's ready.
Pulpwood did a lot of stuff back in the day. Hyder's kick almost blocked, but he got it up and in there, and the kick is good. 31-0 with 2:52 in the quarter.
Let's back with the next kickoff in 1 minute. Nathan, here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
If you need on-time, expert plumbing service, Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. Our plumbers deliver the highest quality service in North Georgia 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We've been North Georgia's source for elite residential and commercial services since 1983. Our licensed plumbers offer services for installation and repairs of pipes, water heaters, septic lines, and sump pumps. Choose Conditioned Air Systems for quality service and unmatched knowledge for your plumbing needs.
Elijah Hayes calling it to five, trying to get loose. Gets across the 20 out to about the 25, got racked up. One guy was holding him, and then another guy came in and hit him hard right there. And he will be down at the 26-yard line, first and 10.
West Hall fans,
with 2:45, West Hall with the football.
That was Mesidor, number 9.
Mesidor carrying the ball?
Yeah.
Okay. Ridge Mesidor, number 9, returning that time. Who's in the game right now?
The one thing Westall doesn't want to do is give it back to them before halftime.
No. You got Hayes in the ball game.
Because they get it. Don't they get it?
Yes. Cherokee Bluff gets it back. Oh, we got the pitch. He goes the other way. Does Hayes across the 30. Got a block. 35. 40. Got the first down out to the 41 and run out of bounds. Wow. That's one of those stop and goes again. Harper, he caught it. He was going to come to the right, saw that was closed up, and took off to the left and got out there and got about 14 yards. And got the first down at the 42-yard line.
Colin Myers, who was outweighed by about 50 pounds, nevertheless got that stop. He just kept him moving out of bounds. He didn't really bring him down to the turf. He just kept him moving out of bounds.
First down, ball's at the 42-yard line. 2:21 in the quarter, handoff to Hayes. And he's going to get stopped for maybe a yard gain at the most that time, out to about the 43. Line judge on this side says maybe a half a yard. Either way, second down, 9 yards to go.
Well, Ackerman, Cohen Carter, Tony Rushland, all three of them were in the backfield before Elijah got the ball in his hands.
Shows you the penetration of that defensive line.
They're doing such a good job of getting around the offensive linemen.
Well, I think West Hall's got the size advantage, but quickness goes to the Bears.
Mm-hmm. Second down, 9 yards to go. Ball's on the 43. Going to pitch back to Hayes. Hayes saw it coming. Rolls out. They're going to drop him in the backfield back there. That's number 43. That time it knocked him down. That's going to be Brent Pierce. Came in from his defensive side position and made. He's a linebacker and dropped him back for a big loss.
Elijah saw the edge close down. And like any good running back, he started to try to find some daylight. Only problem was that the daylight wasn't there because, again, the penetration was there.
Yep.
And you saw Pierce just come blowing in there.
Yeah, loss of 11 back to the 31. Well, nice. Third down and forever. They got to get across the 50 to the 48 of Cherokee Bluff. They're under a minute now as the clock turns. Third down, ball's at the 31. Play clock's at 1. They'll take the penalty and have to go back. Delay of game penalty. Oh, timeout called by West Hall.
It's the last one, maybe?
I'm thinking it is. They've still got 3-2 up on the board, but I think that's their last one in this half.
Again, we'll keep it right here, guys.
Got 44.3 seconds remaining here in this half. 31-0. And the Bears get it, unfortunately, for West Hall. to start the second half there, fellas.
Yeah, and I think they've shaken off a lot of that rust you're talking about, and they're right now they're just clicking.
As they've got stronger, Harper, that rust that you and I talked about earlier has basically they got that steel wool and buffed it off, didn't they?
Yeah, they've dissipated a lot of the early issues. You were complaining about penalty, not complaining, but you were saying, hey, I bet you they're going to have a few penalties. They haven't.
Right.
Really, they had one. Mm-hmm. That didn't make much sense to us. Participation, yeah. 15-yarder, but everything else, they played a pretty clean half. You can't be really disappointed at all in how Cherokee Bluff has come out to shine here in this first half with 31 points. Well, they haven't given up hardly, two first downs? Every possession that West Hall has had has ended in a punt.
And every possession that Cherokee Bluff has had has ended in points.
That's right. Here's the play. This time they get off to Hayes. Hayes trying to make something out of it. Gets across the 35, dodging and ducking. Gets back to what the original line of scrimmage was in this set of downs out to the 42. And that'll make it fourth down and 10 with 31 seconds. And the clock will turn. And Cherokee Bluff is going to call a timeout.
They want it back.
Exactly. They won't get a two-for-one here, don't they?
Yeah, I think they're going to throw it long. Why not?
They've got one timeout left. West Hall has zero. They're going to try and get it, maybe a long throw and get a field goal out of it, Gary, is what I would think.
Yeah. Well, we've already seen them hit a pretty long one, 36-yarder by Garrett Hyder,
mm-hmm.
who's shown he had plenty of leg. That would have been good from about 10 more yards.
Mm-hmm. And here's Neil Diamond on stage now.
Oh, yeah. We're going
to do
some
Sweet Caroline.
That's the fun thing.
Yeah, that we get to hear a lot of good singers that appear at these football games, Michael. I tell you what. You line it up perfectly for us. We usually get, and Neil's with us every game.
Yes, he is.
Saw him in concert at the old Omni in Atlanta.
Yes.
I saw the Commodores at the old Omni.
I've seen a lot.
That's how old I am.
You want to start? Hey, Gino Benelli, Eric Clapton at the Omni.
Were they together on the stage at the
same
time? You're listening to AM Gold, ladies and gentlemen. We're going way back in the Wayback Machine.
I'll have to tell you the Clapton story sometime.
Here's the play.
Off air, please.
Leela.
All right.
We'll kick it. Ball spotted at the 42.
Punt safe for Cherokee Bluff.
Leela. Now we've got a flag. Is a pink laundry an illegal procedure?
Illegal procedure. Another penalty for West Hall. Goodness.
West Hall, the gunner, I think, left a little early right there. Just gauging on where it came from this side, Judge.
Well,
gauging
again,
where the man was down the field already.
Again, the Bears need no help, fellas.
Right.
You got a holster that Colt and quit shooting yourselves in the foot.
Now we'll back them up five, fourth down, 15 yards to go. The ball will be spotted at the 37. Vela will stand at his 25, probably kick it around the 28. Let's see. There's the snap. Avila gets it. Takes a step. Good high kick. KT's looking. He catches it at the 22. Stutter step. 25. Trips over a man at the 24. The 27. And drops down at the 29.
That's about a 44-yarder.
44-yard kick. Gets it back out to the 29. 14.4 seconds. You know they're going to try and go long on this first play, fellas, to try and make something happen. At this point, I would think West Hall wants to back them up and play prevent defense.
Yeah, they've got a timeout left, does mm-hmm. the Bluff. So
they
if
do.
You throw it long and you get it down to about the 30 or so, then you call a timeout, run down there and kick the field goal.
Brett Pierce on the line and Perkle in the backfield. Quarterback is Brooks Bryan. They are ready. Start the play clock. 14 seconds. Bryan hands it off to Perkle. Perkle going to trip over the first line of guys and then try to get on up there. He got about 6 yards out of it across the 35 to about the 36. And that'll be 5-4, 3-2-1. And that'll end the half. Bears 31. Spartans nothing at the half.
Your score is Cherokee Bluff Bears 31. Spartans.
Let's see the field. See if we get Gary with Tommy Jones.
No, they ran the other way.
Okay.
We'll get him later.
Oh, he'll get better in the ball game, no doubt about it. Halftime here for the Hot Gates of Spartan Field. It is all Cherokee Bluff, Bears 31, West Hall nothing. We're back with more of the halftime show. It is the United Community Halftime Report coming up next on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Innovation at Jackson EMC.
To me, innovation is taking technology and doing something new with it.
I'm working with a global company. We're helping them be able to reduce their carbon footprint through some of our programs.
Here at Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation, such as solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient Right Choice homes. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
It's time for our halftime report, brought to you by United Community on 97.5 Glory FM.
It is homecoming here at West Hall High, 37th homecoming from 1988 to the present. 37 years of West Hall football, and this one is one that they're going to want to forget about, Joe, because at halftime it is all Cherokee Bluff who has shown their dominance. And I automatically think in my mind, later on the season, Jefferson and Cherokee Bluff could be playing for the region championship again. Region 8 AAA, one of the toughest regions in the state, with Jefferson, Monroe area, Oconee County, Cherokee Bluff, those top four teams should all four be going to the state playoffs in November. But it's 31-0 Bears on top of West Hall. Of the scores around there, buddy.
All right, I got Gainesville over Secunder, 27-0 at the half. Ringgold over Union County, 24-0 at the half. West Forsyth over Forsyth Central, 24-7. Thank you for moving there. Denmark over North Forsyth, 10-7. Habersham Central at the half over Clark Central, 21-14 at Mount Airy. Athens Academy, 14-6 over Banks County. That's a close one. Jackson County, 22-0 over Appalachie. Oconee County over East Hall, 28-0 at the half. Let's see, drop on down here. I talked about Fannin County just because I know the head coach. Fannin County, 21-7 over Chattooga. North Gwinnett with a big lead over Peachtree Ridge. Wesleyan with a big lead over Mount Vernon. Hart County getting beat by Hebron Christian. North Cross over Parkview. Milton over Lanier. Elbert over Providence Christian. Jefferson, 17-7 over Monroe area. Loganville over Winder Bear, 17-7. And Raven County, that's a half, or second quarter says, 24-21 over Commerce. Prince Avenue over Stevens County, 35-7. And Dawson County with a huge lead over Johnson at the half. Just updated there, so I'm not sure the score on that one. But anyway, in Buford, trailing 7-3 to Collins Hill here in the second quarter, Mike.
Wolves just scored two right before halftime, Joe, and Collins Hill undefeated in the season in Class 6A, and that's going to be a game right there, maybe to determine who'll be the number one seed out of that region going into the state playoffs. Also, because in Quad A, Quinte, and 6A, they do take the old-fashioned way of taking the top four teams from each region going into the state playoffs in November.
Yeah, none of them have all that private school stuff going on in there, so they can do the traditional way of taking teams.
It's going to be a long halftime here with the homecoming festivities taking place. In the background, you can hear the announcement being made here with the homecoming court here at West Hall. And, Joe, looking at other games, we look around the area. Cherokee Bluff was the number five team in the state, according to the Georgia High School Association, with their power rankings. And you can see right now that where the Bears, well, this game will be undefeated at 6-0. They could be one of those top eight to top 16 teams in the state playoffs.
They very well could. I mean, and, you know, the rush that Harper and I were talking about early, mainly me were talking about it, they really have not shown any of that the entire game, have they, Harper?
They've really done a good job of getting themselves back in playing shape, if you will, and just making some big hits. And sometimes that's all you need, just get back on the field and play against somebody in a different color jersey.
Yep, get back in the rhythm of it and everything like that, yep.
Joe, one thing I want to talk about here, and Harper, we'll get your comments, too, at halftime. Tonight, one game I'm very interested in, Appalachie playing tonight against Jackson County. It's 22-0 Panthers on top of the Wildcats. This is the first time their team has played at home since the shooting, which took place a month ago. And, you know, we talk to Chuck Graham, our dear friend here at West Hall, about this. We had him on the Saturday Morning Sports Show last week. You can go to our YouTube channel and see that once again and hear from Coach Graham. You know, Joe and Harper, the one thing about is, yeah, there's football, but then there's things that are really help you in football with life in general, with adversity, but nothing can prepare you for what Appalachia's going through right now. Just trying to function in my mind and just life in general and trying to play football.
Well, especially when you lose an assistant coach that was very, very loved in that community. And Mike, as we're talking about that, his wife was a teacher and coach at Cherokee Bluff. So our thoughts and prayers are with them. And, you know, that, it's got to be tough. They were going to honor all the victims tonight. They were expecting a big crowd. I even heard them say, you know, hey, unless you've got somebody participating, we don't really want you to come because we want it to be all about the school tonight. And that's what they were really focusing on and hoping they'd have a huge crowd, which I figure they do down there the first time they all get back. The community really draws together well.
Yeah, and you feel for her, way, his wife, too. Again, she was at Flyer Branch, Joe.
Flyer Branch, that's right, my bad.
And the thing about it, you know, when this took place, with all the poise in the world, she let everybody know that her children, number one, she would be taking a leave of absence probably for the rest of the year. I mean, just, okay,
yep.
I got to take care of family first.
Sure, and that's the right thing to do. You know, and I'm going to expand on that outside of that in a moment. You know, but the high schoolers, you definitely, especially as young as those kids are, both of them under 10 years old, that's what's important. You got to be with them. We saw that. What I was really admired about Freddie Freeman, he's done that with his family this year, and he's a professional player in the major leagues. He's done that with his kid this year, and I really admire that about him. You know, but, you know, it's tough on the community, everything that happened and all the gossip that starts in there, Harper, you know, in the community and outside the community about this happened, that happened. And, you know, main thing is you got to pull all that gossip out and focus on what can come back as a group and as a community.
Joe and Mike, I don't know how you handle this because it's such a unique problem that needs to be solved.
Right.
Someone gets hurt. Someone has a death in the family or those things, but to have a shooting at your school is such an original problem that I don't think there's any one specific way to how to answer that. So if someone needs the rest of the year to take time off, if someone wants to get back on the field the next day, I don't know if there's a wrong answer for anybody. I really don't. I think you have to be sensitive to all of it. But for the sake of the players and the football program and the athletics and the school itself, when would it be appropriate for us to get back out on the field? Is it a week? Is 2 weeks? Whatever. So I think they've reached an agreement where I don't think anybody's upset. Do you, Mike? Is anybody upset with that? I mean,
And actually, they were pushed back a week, Mike, if I remember you telling me that they GHSA made them reacclimate like they do at the beginning of fall practice.
Correct.
That they had to reacclimate for a week before they started getting back into pads. So they had an extra week, if you will, of the acclimation period before they could start practicing again. So they're probably excited to be back out there, even though they're not, you know, scoring right now.
Well, here's another question that I have. Are there any players that might have a chance to play in college that are being recruited that now can't be seen because of what happened? And again, I'm not blaming it. I'm just throwing that out there. Is there anybody that
has taken that into consideration, where there's a guy that's on the brink. Well, now I may not want to, he's not playing, so I don't know if I can offer him that scholarship or even, you know, a visit.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, I'll expand on even more, fellas, is that, you know, Mike and I were chatting on the way down here today. You know, Valdosta State College, they're playing and practicing down in Atlanta. I think, Mike, you were saying they were staying in some Georgia Tech dorms.
Georgia State dorms. Yes.
Practicing at Georgia Tech.
Correct.
And then Appalachian State basically is done for the year. But I think they're still going to try and play. They were helping with the relief efforts up in North Carolina. You know, and
Joe Boone was hit very hardly, you know, very, very hard too. And with that, the Appalachian State University, they've called off semester of the classes for the rest of the semester. But football, question, you know, what will they do? They're about to name the homecoming queen.
Homecoming queen
and
is,
wait for it,
Miss Ali Vieda.
Ali Vieda, right there in the center. And
she was right in the middle, of course, because the guy didn't want to have to walk very far to give her the roses. he was at the 50-yard line, and he didn't want to have to walk all the way down to the 35. How about that?
And she's in her silver sequin dress tonight.
Yep.
It's cool color.
The one in the Tennessee orange that sticks out to me a little bit. That's,
you're right. You got a red.
It says not my color wheel.
I know.
Orange is not your color wheel.
And the other half of the audience that is already mad at us just said, "Why would you even mention them?" I didn't. I just mentioned a color.
Especially for this year's homecoming. I'll clean that thing for you. Okay.
It's Allie Avila.
There's a girl wearing a couple of Georgia. You know, she's got some Georgia colors. She didn't win though.
Black.
She didn't win.
Couple blues, and there's a pretty pink and a lavender down there. So all the girls in there pretty, pretty colors tonight. Miss Allie Avila, homecoming queen, 24-25 here at West Hall, with 9 minutes left here through the rest of halftime.
And coming up next, we'll have our halftime report from NGPG. As you're tuned to the United Community Halftime Report on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success, it takes a community, a united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
It's time for our sports medicine update from NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine.
Back on 97.5 Glory FM, talking with Dr. Gregory Woods of NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, learning a lot about the great job that they do helping patients here in the North Georgia area. We've talked about the shoulder. We've talked about the knee. How about the hips? Are you seeing a lot of problems with hips in the area?
It's a less likely injured joint because
it's got such big muscles that surround it, and the ball and socket part of the joint is a very deep ball and socket, and so it's hard to dislocate it. But I've actually seen dislocations on the football field where we've had to put it back in place, and that's a really rare and unusual injury. But the nice thing about hips these days, we have the great ability to look at the tissues of the hip joint with an MRI or an MRI arthrogram, and then also be able to do hip arthroscopy, actually look into the joint with the scope. And people know that we do shoulders and knees with scopes, and we can also do elbows and ankles, but hip arthroscopy is something that's come about in the last 10 or 15 years, and we've been able to treat a lot of injuries through a scope. And we do have several of our docs at NGPG Ortho that do hip arthroscopy.
So I guess we've seen, like, stingers, for example, when you get hit on the hip, on the joint there, or someone on the soccer field falling, that kind of thing. And it may not be as severe as we first might think.
Yeah, a lot of times those are contusions or bruises over the prominences of the side of the hip. But the one that really can be a problem, and people probably have heard about it, is the labrum. And that's the cartilage that surrounds the socket part of the joint. And that can be injured from a fall, from an over-rotation. And we are able to repair that labrum through a scope, just like you can repair a meniscus. We can go in there and stitch it back together and anchor it down where it belongs and do that all through a scope.
Wow. That is amazing. And the technology that you offer there at NGPG really amazes me, and someone can go in and say, okay, it's so invasive, and you can really have a quicker recovery, it seems, nowadays.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, is to do minimally invasive surgery so that you're doing the least amount of harm to the patient. That's the old Hippocratic oath or idea that first do no harm. And the biggest example is shoulders and rotator cuffs over the years. The innovation in repairing rotator cuffs through a scope. Gosh, I haven't opened a shoulder for a rotator cuff repair in probably 15 years.
Wow.
We're able to do it so well through a scope. And those kind of changes came about earlier for the knee and now for joints like the hip joint.
How about when it comes to this repetitive motion? I'll see a lot of times coaches, for example, and then they're, you know, early in their 40s, 50s especially, they may have had a hip replaced, that kind of thing. Is it just a repetitive motion that will wear one out?
Yeah, some people have a familial tendency towards early arthritis, but a lot of it is just wear and tear. You know, people doing a lot of activities on their weight-bearing joints and putting a lot of pressure on it can wear down the cartilage in the joint. And you'll see these old coaches and old players limping around. But we at Northeast Georgia have the capability to do hip replacement, knee replacement, partial knee replacement, surgeries in which we are able to get people back on their feet and be very active again and get rid of their pain.
All right, you got to tell me, what's the difference between a partial knee replacement and a full knee replacement?
Well, full knee replacement, you resurface the tibia, the leg bone, the femur, that's the end of the thigh bone, and the underneath side of the kneecap. When you do a partial replacement, you're either going to do just the femoral joint, meaning a resurfacing on the underneath side of the kneecap and on the top of the femur where it rides, or you're doing a compartment, like the medial compartment would be covering over just the inside part of the femur and the tibia. And that's been a very popular method of restoring function in people who have isolated arthritis of that medial compartment.
Wow.
And I've done tons of those since 2006. And they're not a short-term solution. 91% of them are still in place at 20 years. So it's a good solution. It also feels more like a normal knee, so people are able to get out and be more active on it early on. But I will say that only about 30% of my patients, when they come to see me, will be a candidate for the partial replacement.
Because if you've got bone on bone, you're going to have a full knee replacement, right?
Well, it depends on which surfaces are worn out. If it's isolated to one compartment and we've got x-ray and clinical criteria you have to fit, and that puts you in that 30% category, but still, that's 30%. You don't have to resurface the whole joint.
Oh, yes, that's great to hear. Also, how about when it comes to the platelet-rich plasma now? Can that be maybe an injection in the knee that might be better for someone rather than a cortisone shot?
Yes, we think it's got beneficial effects. Now, cortisone shots work. They treat the inflammation, but they don't last very long. And if you do a lot of them, there can be some side effects. But what you're trying to do is treat the inflammation. And platelet-rich plasma is one of those that's got some good data out there now in head-to-head comparison to another product called hyaluronate, which is a gel substance that requires three injections typically over three separate weeks. And with the PRP, it's one injection, and we get usually just as good, if not better, results and length of symptom-free experience in using the PRP. And we have several of those locations in our organization where we do those PRP injections.
So how long would the results last with a PRP?
6 to 18 months.
Wow. That helps someone who's having a lot of arthritic pain, for example, wouldn't it?
Yes.
All right, so again, tell everybody about your locations, Dr. Woods.
We have locations that go from Toccoa over to Dawsonville to Gainesville, Buford, Braselton, Houston, Jefferson, Bethlehem, and we have offices in all those locations. We service a wide area, and the best place to go is NGPG, Orthopedic and Sports Medicine. Look us up on the web. You can see our provider list, and click right there to get an appointment.
Well, one great thing about it, too, I don't have to be referred to by another doctor to come and see you, right?
No. A lot of people think that orthopedists require a prior referral. We don't. We'll see people straight in. You don't have to. If you've got a joint problem, we're happy to look at it, evaluate it. And if it's something that needs to go to somebody else, like a rheumatologist, we can handle getting it to the right person.
All right. So NGPG is a place to go. You can talk with Dr. Gregory Woods. Tell me you heard about it right here on 97.5 Glory FM. Thank you so much, sir. We got much more for you coming up next.
United Community is a bank that asks, when it comes to your finances, how do you define success? Knowing your bank has your financial future right on course? Having a banking partner that's ready with a plan when opportunity knocks? Or maybe it's a digital banking experience that puts everything at your fingertips, even at your daughter's soccer game. However you define success, United Community's trusted bankers are here for you. Success. It takes a community. A united community. Learn more at ucbi.com. Member FDIC.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit ConditionedAirSystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
This has been the United Community Halftime Report on 97.5 Glory FM. The second half kickoff is coming up next.
And we're getting ready for the second half kickoff. It's Cherokee Bluff 31, West Hall nothing. Joe?
Junior Vila back to tee it up for West Hall. You've got Landon Kemp, and it went under number 14. KT Thompson's hands took a skip. KT went down to get it, and went right under his hands back in the end zone. So it'll come out to the 20 with the touchback. Cherokee Bluff will have it first and 10 on their own 20 to start the second half. Brooks Bryan will be in at quarterback.
And what a first half he had, Joe.
Oh, Brooks, yeah, you know, after that first pass that he overthrew Malcolm Millsap, he kind of, not only say played flawless, but he threw the ball pretty well there in the first half. Connor Griffin in the backfield, a couple of wide outs. Got Dylan Haley, KT on one side. Bryan throws over to KT. KT has the first down at the 31, right at the 30-yard line, up to 10 or 11-yard gain. He's standing right at the 30, so it'll be a first down. On the first play from scrimmage, knows the football at the 30. It'll be a first down for the Bears.
They list him at 6 foot tall, and he plays a lot taller than that.
Who's that, KT?
Yeah.
Yeah, KT is probably 6'1".
Yeah, maybe 6'2". Yeah,
might be 6'2". Yeah. Like I said earlier, he's a strong little rascal. I say little rascal. Of course, I use that objectively. I'm the smallest one out around. Yeah. First and 10. Going to hand off to Griffin again. Griffin going to power across the 30 down to about the 34, and then several big guys for West Hall. Shelton Maynard, number 55, made the tackle. Not there, the big nose guard for.
And you really see the difference, guys. You know, Gary, especially you see that down there, is Cherokee Bluff's loaded with athletes. Now, KT plays three sports for them, as an example.
Well, and that's such a great thing.
Well, and college coaches want you to play more than one sport, is what I've always heard, too. Going to hand off to Griffin that time. And, boy, that defensive back got in there in a hurry. Didn't a big lineman. Is that Maynard again there?
Yes,
Harper got in there and made the tackle. Wow.
Yeah. See, he did those push-ups there early in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready to roll now.
Meanwhile, the homecoming queen down here is pausing for lots of pictures with her fans. Ms. Vieta.
Yeah, are you? You're not in there with her, are you?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Although I could be.
Third down and 8. Ball at the 32-yard line. Bryan back, takes the snap, rolls over to the near side, looking. Got a man, KT, caught it at the 40. It will be a first down. Oh, he's going to be short about a yard, isn't he? Yeah.
He needed to get to the 40. He caught it about the 41, but by the time he went out of bounds, he's claiming that forward progress.
He's thinking it should have been. In college, you can stick the ball out there, and they'll give you forward progress where the ball. They're going to give you the first down.
Made him a great spot.
Yeah. No, knows the ball, touching the 40 and near hash mark.
So there's your no measurement again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Way of the dodo, Gary. You're probably not going to see any more than maybe two or three for the rest of the year.
Bryan in at the quarterback, obviously. Griffin at the running back. Hand off to Griffin. Griffin goes around the far side. Trying to cut back inside, he does. He gets across the 45, down to about the 46, and a flag on the far side at the 41-yard line. Rainey gets the tackle. And let's see what the flag is going to be. Our head official, the white hat, looks like it's going to be a holding on the offense. And it'll take the penalty. It'll push him back from the 41. The penalty from there will bring up first down. And 10-yard penalty. We'll see. They're holding off for a second here before they mark it off.
Well, I would be a bit surprised for these starters to stay in the game a long time because it's been so long since they've played.
Now they're marking it off. It's a 10-yard penalty. First and 20 back at the 30 now. Number 20 at 30 and the 31. They'll put it at the nose of the ball at the 31-yard line.
I guess from the spot of the spot is right. Mm-hmm. So from the 31 back, from the 41 back to the 31.
Yep.
The line of scrimmage was the 40.
First down and about 19. Three wideouts near side. Brian going to throw a slant out here to Landon Kemp. Kemp tries to get around. KT missed the block. And
yeah, well defended there by West Hall.
Well, good job by West Hall. They come in and make the tackle right
Zach
there.
Zach Wagner was the first
Zach
one.
Zach.
Mm-hmm. Also number 28, or was it 29?
Gonzalez?
Ruben Harrison.
Hernandez?
Hernandez?
Might be 26.
Harrison.
I can't.
Kamani Harrison.
Oh, yeah, Harrison.
You've got to narrow that down for us, Gary. 26, 28, 29, which one?
Well, he's not listed on the original roster, but I penciled him in down there at 28. So, Kamani Harrison, yeah, that was him.
He got a yard out of it. Second down, 19 to go now. Brian tipped it to himself, getting flushed out of the pocket far side, throws it incomplete over the head of Landon Kemp.
Kemp falls incomplete. Third down for the Bears and 19 yards to go for the first down.
Defense on the far side that time.
Spartan
by Harrison.
And I ask you to stand and cheer. It is
third down, 19 yards to go.
But Joe, that play to me was let's make some lemonade out of lemons. It was a high snap. You know, that could have gone over his head. He deflects it to himself, rolls out to his right, has a receiver that's open, but he's in between the sticks, right? About 5 yards in between. Hits him in the hands, but it was a little high, and it falls incomplete. If you get any portion of that 19 yards back, at least half of it, you've done well.
Another high snap. He gets it over here this time, gets it to number 12. He's going to get around the 45, the 50, 45.
That's
he got the first down.
The
number 12, Bryce Fontenot. And we got a block in the back. It looks like back to the 44-yard line.
I saw it. Yep.
Eyes on the field down there. Gary saw it. Gets it all the way down to the 40. It's going to be going to come back. Blocking the back was at the 43-yard line of Cherokee Bluff. So now they're making a few mistakes here.
I'm not even sure that was necessary, Joe. I don't think it was necessary.
Probably wasn't.
Had a big old tackle at number 78 out there from the Bluff out there. 78 is a Jordan Maddox, a 300-pounder out there leading the way.
Yep.
And somebody came from behind. There was somebody that looked like he was about the size of one of his legs.
29-yard gain wiped off, and it'll come back.
Maddox.
From the spot, so it's on balls. They're actually going to get 2 yards out of it. It's third down and 17 now.
I'm not sure the little guy that got blocked, I'm not sure he could have made the play anyway.
Third and 17, 7:57 and running.
Well, I got to admit, Tommy Jones did it. That's a great play call because everybody was going to the right. You had nobody was expecting Bryce Fontenot to come up with a big play.
Mm-hmm. Brian takes it and got offsides.
Another penalty.
By the big lineman in there that time looked like to be Kevon Blockman, big number 71.
Now they're just swapping penalties here.
Yep. Yeah, that's 71's Kendrick Tamaya.
Now in a region game, what's the running clock rule in the fourth quarter?
Fourth quarter, it runs regardless if you're 30 points or ahead.
Okay.
It's optional in the fourth quarter, or third quarter, excuse me. Fourth quarter, it runs at 30. Back, Brian looking to pass, throws it over the middle, incomplete.
Ooh, KT was open.
Yeah, he was open, but he threw it a little shallow. The one guy that was open right there was number one, Trent Williams for West Hall, but he was the only one that could have got it probably.
First punt of the night for the Bluff. They
had
scored every time they put their hands on the ball, except for this one, the one at the very end of the half when they only had about 15 seconds.
And basically ran the clock out then. You'll have Garrett Hyder will do the punting. Stands at his own 26 to receive it. Will punt it around the 30 and does. Left footer, kicks it down there. Going to come down. Caught it at the 22. That was 23. They caught it. Yeah, Rory Shaka. Got back out to the 33-yard line. So about a 10-yard return after the kick. Somebody must have told him to turn that up in the second half there, Harper, because he got a little loud with that.
Say something, Ryan Phillips. He's got to get
Ryan must have been listening to us and said, "Hey, you got to turn that up a little bit, dude."
You got to turn it up. I can hear them do playing play by play. So
exactly.
If I can hear them doing the game, it's not loud enough.
First down is the 33. West Hall with the football. Red Sturm with a single back beside him, looking to pass right over them in and out of the hands of the intended receiver, number 5, Marcus Pugh.
Well, he gunned it when he should have put a touch on it.
Yep.
I mean, he threw it too hard. Hit him in the hands, and it had too much moxie on it, and just couldn't hang on.
Sturm, a junior, you know, last year was his first year under center, and he's got a year of growth, and he's playing better, but he's still got to learn how to put the touch on the football.
Yeah, you know, he's too hot. He's the only member of his older brother playing here now at West Georgia.
Yep, exactly. Second down, 4 wideouts, 3 on the far side, ball in the hash mark. Sturm puts it on the ground, picks it up, gives it to his running back, and not going to get anything on that one.
Low snap.
Yep. Dropped on the ground. He had to pick it up, hand it to Elijah late. Elijah got about half a yard, maybe. Third down, 9 yards to go. Ball on the 33.5, basically. 7 minutes, 13 seconds as the clock turns.
Well, I'll tell you, whatever the defensive coordinator's job was in terms of keeping Strom and Elijah intact, boy, it has worked well tonight, hasn't it?
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to run, except for maybe in the first series. He got to the outside a couple times. He had one other play for about 14 yards, but other than that, it's all back to the line of scrimmage.
Sturm gives it out to Hayes in the pass. Hayes gets it, spins right there at the 35, and he gets head on right there at the 36. So he only gets about 3.
That was a nice touch pass, but he ran out of room. The pass was a little bit late getting there, and that enabled the defense to catch up. So he only got a few yards out of that.
I'm not good at math, Gary. You know that, but I counted 5 white jerseys and only 1 gray jersey, and the 5 white jerseys brought the gray jersey down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that funny how that works that way.
Fourth down, about 6.5 to go. Avila back to kick, KT back to catch it. Avila gets it, runs around for a second, then kicks it. Line drive to the far side, hits it to 31 and rolls out of bounds at the 20-yard line. So a decent little kick for
44 yards.
All right, 44-yard kick.
Avila's got a little bit of that rugby thing going on. That's how he runs to the side.
Yep.
Good, but gets it back, leading 31-0 here in the third quarter. Joe, on the final score now, I'm going to ask Sid Maxwell this question. How much is enough? 64-0 now, Dawson County on top of Johnson in the third quarter.
What, you say 64?
Yeah, 64-0.
Yeah.
So that score that we had where it was 60-6.
Was wrong.
That wasn't correct?
That wasn't correct.
All right, my dyslexia 50-0,
then 2 touchdowns more, down 64-0.
Well, all right, back to pass. Got it over to Dylan Haley. Dylan Haley trying to run around, gets around by the 1 block and gets the first down out to the 31-yard line. Good job by Haley. He caught it around the 24-yard line and was able to dodge a couple of guys before he finally got tackled right there by Lou at the 31.
Dylan did a really nice job of setting everything up to the outside and getting the defenders to go with him and then break it back to the inside and take a 4 or 5 yard gain when he catches the ball and turn it into a first down.
Mm-hmm. First down, ball to 31 now, 5:27 in the quarter. Flip-flopping a couple of guys from one side to the other. Caleb Cooper, one of them. Handing off to Griffin. Griffin trying to stutter step. He'll have about a yard or two. The ball came out.
West Hall says they do.
Let's see. Referee says they do too. West Hall recovers.
A rare mistake.
Big number 75, Kavon Blockman. Blockman takes it. Says he got it. He did. He recovered at the 34-yard line. It'll be West Hall's football.
Well, that's one way to flip the field.
Cherokee Bluff. First really mistake of the night right there, Harper. Gives West Hall a first and 10 to 34. They would love to score right here.
Yeah, they'll avoid the running clock in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
If they were to, unless the Bluff could get it to score back. Mm-hmm.
First down, ball's reached basically at the 29-yard line. Sturm with one guy and hit one guy in the back end. Sturm just had to pick it up and run with it.
They're having
a yard. Yeah, they are.
They're having a problem with the center quarterback exchange.
He flipped it back there, and it looked like it hit the other guy, the guy that was kind of in a slot position. Looked like it hit him in the backside. as it was coming through. Yeah, Aiden Raley.
That's two or three that's been rolled. That's rolled back there. The center. Yeah. The center is kind of shaking his hands out. I don't know if he's.
Guys,
not got a good grip.
Candid.
He got hit on the hands or what? That's 54, Daniel Standridge.
If I can be candid with you, if you're a right-handed snapper and you've got a guy right on your shoulder, on your right shoulder, that is the kryptonite of the world for a snapper.
Mm. Flips it. Sturm gets it. Flips it back to Elijah. Elijah gets through one guy. One guy holds on to him, and he gets down to about the 31, 32-yard line. So he gets about three, maybe. It'll be third down and six now for the Spartans.
If I can follow up real quick, the reason is because when you snap it with your right hand and there's a guy on your right shoulder, your tendency is you want to get your hand back up to block the guy that is right next to you. And in order to do that, you either take too long or you don't snap the ball in the same rhythm that you are normally used to.
Sturm gets it, hands it off to Elijah.
Elijah. Here we go.
Blocks the guy. Gets around the 25, 20, 15, 10. One guy to beat. Touchdown, Spartans.
There you go.
31-yard run for Elijah Hayes.
Yeah, you
touchdown, Spartans.
You can bottle him up for so long, and he's gonna hurt you sometime. But it's kind of late in the game now.
Zach Wagner helped him with a block, spring him out there on the far side to bring him open out there. I got to see Zach's dad and mom before the game, Michael. He said he was enjoying his tenure so far this year at North Hall Middle School as principal. We'll try for the extra point to cut it to 31-6.
They're going
to
go for two.
Tell them they got to hurry. They're under 10. 9-8, they're going for two. Sturm puts a man in motion. Stops him. Sends him back. 4-3. Sturm takes it. Rolls. Throws it. Complete. Good. Got it. That complete right there to Aiden Rainey for the two-point conversion. Makes it 31-8.
And we're back with the kickoff in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
At Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation. The new ideas in our industry that lead to better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business.
To be an innovative cooperative, I believe we always have to be looking at how we are handling our member experience.
Innovation is really important to Jackson MC. It's our role to really make sure we're on the cutting edge of these new changes in technology that are coming to the power sector.
Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nick, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top-quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
And we're back here at the Hot Gates at Spartan Field. West Hall gets on the board.
31-8 now after the touchdown and the two-point conversion. Got a guy tying a shoe right down on the far end or on this side for West Hall. He gets set. Now he'll go out there and be settled. And Junior Avila will kick off. KT Thompson, Landon Kent back deep. 4:27 left here in the third quarter. Tomey's leather. High, long, deep kip. That's going to drive KT back about 3 yards deep, and that'll bring out and be a touchback out to the 20. Good kick by Avila that time. And he's had some pretty good kicks tonight, Avila has. On that end, on the punting side, he
kicked some 40, so 50-yard field goals in warm-ups in between half that were just flying through.
Yeah.
He tried one from 45, and he mishit it. Mm-hmm. He's got a real strong leg. Now, he's not the same as a punter, but as a kicker, boy, he can drive the football.
First down at their own 20 for Cherokee Bluff. Jackson Perkle in the backfield. A hand off to Jackson. Jackson trying to go around the far side, only going to get about 2 yards. He's wrapped up by a couple of guys on the far side. Look like...
Joe got an important score for you after three quarters of play. Bethlehem Christian shutting out Lakeview Academy 10-0. Game of two unbeatens there in the GIAA.
Huge game right there. That's that down at Bethlehem Christian.
Yes.
Right.
Where Brooks Bryan was quarterback last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Lakeview first time being undefeated this time of the year. And
yes,
Lee Coleman doing a well of a job with a small roster over at Lakeview Academy.
Do people still drive to Bethlehem at Christmas time to mail their cards?
Yes.
Yes, they do. They also go to Santa Claus, Georgia, and mail them from there, too, to get the postmarks. Well, you better do it in November this year, as slow as the mail's moving.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm sorry I said
just,
that.
Just saying. Just, yeah.
Maybe right. Halloween.
Yeah, we had a delay because someone's shoe came off.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it back on.
Second down, 8. Brian to throw. Throws it on this side. KT catches it. Had a block. 20, 25, 30. Knocked out of bounds around the 30-yard line. It'll be first down and 10 right there.
You better not give Thompson a step or two because he's going to make you look silly. He's got some speed.
KT and Landon kind of been their go-to guys on that right there, haven't they?
Well, Joe, when's the last time you saw a team that their two best wide receivers are baseball players?
Exactly.
Speed and ability to catch the ball.
Speed, they can catch the ball. And, of course, KT also plays basketball.
For the region, for the Ladero Land champions.
Exactly.
Bears.
Flip-flop from side to side. A couple of receivers, a handoff to Purple. Purple trying to get through the middle. He does. He gets about 3-4 yards and knocked down by several gray jerseys. The ball came out. But the official on this side said, no, the ball was down.
It was down.
And, Joe, note to band, you cannot play while the game's going on.
Not for your team. Yeah, you don't want to do that when you are rooting for your team. Isn't that a rule? I think that was a rule back in your day, Joe.
I saw it was. And I even saw a white hat walk up, go up in the stands and talk to the band director of some college game the other day. Connor Griffin's the running back. Two wideouts. Caleb Cooper is a slot here on the kind of in the tight end position. Looking to throw it, Brian, on the far side. KT caught it at the 41, out to the 45, the 46. First down, a flag.
That's going
to come
back
from the 50.
So KT straight arms the defender. I believe that was number zero. I'm on long.
But, you know, Harper, the point is, Brooks Bryant is just so smooth, isn't he?
What did he do? He hit him in the face mask or something?
Yeah, when he straight armed him, he got him in the face
and
pushed him away. And so they're going to get him.
Face mask on offense.
That's one of those inadvertent things. You know,
you stick your hand out there and you can't help it. The defender smooths his head all of a sudden. Boom, you get the face mask because he pushes it.
If you put your hand on the crown of the helmet, that's not the same as a face mask.
Right.
So obviously for player safety. Well, I know it. Higher levels, you've got a 5-yard and then a 10 or 15-yard penalty, but high school it's 15 every time.
Yeah, he hit my fist with his face.
That's right.
Second down, 14 yards to go. Ball's back at the 27.
I've had several fights that have ended that way, Gary. Several fights.
Yes.
Two wideouts near side. Brian gets hands off to Griffin. Griffin around the far side, across the 30, drags the guy out to about the 34-yard line. So he gets about 6 or 7 yards back. It'll be third down and about 6, maybe 7.
That's nice power football there.
Yep.
You know, you didn't get a lot, but you get 6 or 7 yards. You can work with that offensively.
Third down and 7 now. Ball's placed at the 33. Got to get to the 41, so third down and 8. Ball's at 34, so it is 7 yards. Excuse me. 1:49 in the quarter. 31-8 is your score. Cherokee Bluff with the football. Brian has it on a high snap. Turns. He's being trapped back there. One big guy gets him and knocks him down. The ball came out. A West Hall player falls on it. They're going to say no, it was incomplete as it was actually an attempted pass.
Fourth down anyway.
Well, there's a flag.
Laundry on the field on the far side. Big Maynard comes in there and makes the tackle, slings him back a yard or two.
They get him for
too much, too hard to tackle.
Throwing the ball away. No, I don't think that's
that grounding.
Yep.
Yeah, intentional grounding right there.
Could be.
There's another flag. Yep. Referee just threw one to compete. He wants to get his out there.
Yep. Intentional grounding, loss of down. Is what it's going to be. So to bring up fourth down, they'll have to punt and they'll lose 10 yards from there from the spot.
Five from the 26 is where he threw it.
Yep. Yeah, that's where they're marking it from.
Well, you got to admire
West Hall's grit. They've really fought back in this quarter.
Yep. It is a 5 yard from the spot. Loss of down, fourth down and 20. They'll kick it as Hyder's back to kick. Elijah back to catch it. Left footer kicks it high and long and deep. That's going to be Rory back there to catch it, but it's going to go over his head and take a Cherokee Bluff roll all the way down to the 20-yard line. That's going to be a long one, a 60-yard punt. That might be the longest one we've seen this year. Gary, a 60-yarder.
Wow.
That pretty well, you know, you think you're back in it, and all of a sudden a 60-yard punt puts you back at the 20. There's nothing you can do about it because he kicked it 5 or 8 yards over the receiver's head.
Yeah, and it was a line drive punt. It got down there in a hurry and it got over the receiver's head in a hurry. The only thing he could do is sit there and watch it roll.
Exactly. All right, the first down, they hadn't changed the box yet, but it's first and goal, first down and 10, excuse me, at the 20. 59 seconds left here in the third quarter. 31-8 is your score. Sturm going to pitch it back to Hayes, trying to get him out wide. One man chases. Stern or Hayes gets it out there to about the 24-yard line. Two guys hit him head-to-head in there, number 66 in there, being Greg, one of those guys. Looks like the other guy might have been number 3, Colin Muirs. Gave him 4 yards on the carry, second down 6 with 54 seconds left.
And Joe Buford's come from behind in this third quarter to lead Collins Hill now, 14-7.
Wow, that would be played at Buford, probably on TV tonight.
It is.
Second down, three wideouts. Looking to pass. Stern throws a floater over the top. Complete. That's a 45. Incomplete now, the referee says, as he knocked it out of his hand.
Yep. Never quite came down with it.
But Nasara Lou caught it. But it looked like number 3 back there and knocked it away from him. That's Colin Muirs. Good, nice shot. And Lou's got to come out of the game. He's struggling with that left leg, it looks like, right there. As he comes off the field.
Lou did such a good job of making it not look like he was going to run a go route. And then he ends up, he's a pretty tall kid, and he goes up as high as he can, gets great separation. The ball's in his hands, but somewhere between it, touching his hands, mm-hmm. and when he came down and gets the foot out of bounds, incomplete ball.
Third down, 6. And off to Elijah. Elijah trying to get in the middle. Not going to happen this time as a bunch of white jerseys stack him up right there to 34.
Well, so we got our first final in, believe it or not.
Really?
Gainesville over Seckinger, 41-0.
Wow.
Yeah, Caleb Cooper stood him up in the hole, man, and then the rest of the white shirts came and kept him from getting any more yardage. Cooper's been pretty active tonight, hasn't he?
Fourth down and 6 now. Vela, I would think, would come in and punt.
And that's the end of the quarter.
End of the third quarter right there, Michael, 31-8, Cherokee Bluff.
And we're back in the fourth and final quarter in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
If you need on-time expert plumbing service, Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. Our plumbers deliver the highest quality service in North Georgia 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. We've been North Georgia's source for elite residential and commercial services since 1983. Our licensed plumbers offer services for installation and repairs of pipes, water heaters, septic lines, and sump pumps. Choose Conditioned Air Systems for quality service and unmatched knowledge for your plumbing needs.
The final quarter from the hot gates of Spartan Field. 12 more minutes to go, Joe.
31-8. Cherokee Bluff in the lead. Fourth down for West Hall. I would assume that they'll punt it right here. Well, but Brett Sturm's on the field, so they're going to go for it.
They've got their offensive line. They've got pink socks. They've got a lot of different things going on right now. They want to get back in this ball game, and why not go for it?
Sturm with the football. In the backfield. Elijah off to his left. Fakes it. Oh, he's going to try and run. It's not going to happen. They got in there in a hurry, Harper, and knocked him down for about a 3-yard sack.
Wow. What a great job Ryland Ackerman was blitzing from the outside. He forces a quarterback move to a different spot, and as soon as he gets in that other spot, he was leveled by another blitzing linebacker. You brought five.
I'm going to tell you, Cherokee Bluff has employed the blitz to great effectiveness tonight.
Yes, they have.
But in order to do that, you've got to have some pretty fast linebackers. You've got to spot that gap. Then you shoot the gap before the guy can react on the offensive line to put a hat on you.
Well, when you got Ackerman and Griffin in there, and along with Pierce and Cooper.
Yeah.
Now, first down and 10, ball's at the 18-yard line of West Hall. Cherokee Bluff with the football. Griffin in the backfield.
Oh, there's
they're looking to pass. It's going to be complete.
Oh, my goodness.
Out of his hands.
How does Landon Kemp drop that ball?
Landon's mad. He came off with a
helmet. He's going to go straight to the buses. Yep. He's so upset with himself.
You're exactly right, Harper. He is so mad. As soon as it went through his hands, he took two steps off the field, pulled his helmet off, mad at himself.
That reminded me of what Oregon used to do. You have one guy running, and everybody thinks they're going to give it to the guy in the flat, and then the guy that's running gets to the sideline, and everyone forgets to cover him, and Landon was wide open.
Back in the corner of the end zone. Yes. Should have caught it. Second down, 10 yards to go now. Griffin in the backfield behind the quarterbacks. Brian going to hand off to Griffin. Griffin going to power and only get about 2 yards down to the 15. It'll be third down and 8 now with 11:38 in the quarter.
Short carry for the Bears. 2 yard gain.
Predict they're going to come away with
flag coming in there late.
Somebody said something.
Yeah.
That's a mouthy.
That's uncalled for. I don't care where you are.
I didn't see a push, but I.
Zach Wagner trying to correct it down there, but as he's talking to one of his big men. Umpire telling the white hat what's going on. Personal foul. Oh, it's on Cherokee Bluff.
Oh.
Yeah. We were guessing the gray team, but it was the white team that did it.
Foul called against Cherokee
Bluff. That's going to push them back 15 yards.
Still third down, but
I'm sure Tommy Jones will not be happy about that.
You know, it's interesting. We mentioned at the beginning of the game with the penalties and all that. The first half, they played a clean,
pretty clean game,
really
yeah.
good game. And now they've had, four penalties here in the last two or three drives that have really been big ones that are more disciplinary things than they are. I mean, the face mask is a mistake because you could have hit him on another part of your body. But that one right there, that's I'm sure Coach Jones is going to have a visit with some of his guys and try to get them back in playoff mode.
Third down and 20 plus. Ball's at the 31. Ryan back to throw it. Goes over to this side. Complete over here to number 15. Caught it at the 20. That's going to be Tyler Underwood. Underwood caught it right at the 20. They're going to spot it at the 19. So he's back to almost the original line of scrimmage. It'll be fourth down now and 10.
That was Ethan Clifford, the senior cornerback.
Fourth down, 11 yards yet to go.
And Garrett Harper, will come up and attempt a field goal from the near hash mark.
No swinging gig.
Logan Wynn will hold it for him.
He's already hit one from 36. This will be another 36-yarder.
Yes, it will. Left footer from the near hash mark with 10:42. Snap good, hold good. Kick is up on the way. It is good. 34-8. With 10:34 remaining.
And we're back to the kickoff in 1 minute here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
At Jackson EMC, innovation is an ongoing cycle, a process without a beginning or an end, where one idea leads to the next. Solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient right choice homes, automated switch technology. What we do as an industry is vital. We keep communities powered, so we must always have an eye on the future. Jackson EMC. Innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
Got 11 points in this game.
Hyder will kick off to Rory and Hayes, and it will be 2 yards deep in the end zone and kick out the back. And that'll be a touchback and come out to the 20. First and 10 for the Spartans. 10:34 remaining here. 34-8 now, 26-point lead for Cherokee Bluff. It'll be their first region win of the season. And it'll put West Hall at 0-2.
Well, Hyder's a weapon. He's on kickoffs. He's perfect on his extra points tonight. He's got two field goals. He's got 11 points.
First down, ball for 20. West Hall with the football. Sturm in the gun. Putting Rory up on the far side of the receiver. Three guys on the near side. Alou is one of them. Hayes off to the left of his hands, left hand side of his quarterback, Sturm. Sturm takes it, rolls to the near side, stays in, throws over here. A little short.
The couldn't hold it.
Receiver. That time was number 16, Ethan Clifford. A little short for him. If he hits him right there as he's standing up, he's going to be close to the first down there, Harper.
Well, it looked like a shorter route, you know, 5 or 6 yards. Let's see what we can get. And since we're not able to run the ball well, can we do like what the West Coast offense is? Can we get 4, 5, 6 yards by passing it and create a second and short?
Well, he threw it about 6 inches above the turf, too, yep. So that would have been a tough catch.
Second and 10, looking to pass. Sturm going to throw it over the top. Got a receiver, has to wait. He caught it at the 48 of Cherokee Bluff, down to the 40. Bites his way, still on his feet, dodging tackles. Down
ball
to the 35,
loose.
The ball came out. Cherokee Bluff saying they've got it. Let's see. One referee on it, another one waving his hands to stop it. Number 60 for Cherokee Bluff saying, we got it. It's going to be Cherokee Bluff football.
Wow.
Hudson Davis, the big lineman, saying, we got it, we got it. And they for sure do.
Well, that's a heartbreaker for the Spartans.
Shaka
right
Rory was the receiver. They caught it, made a lot of moves, and then put it on the ground down there after all that excitement. Down to 35, recovered by Cherokee Bluff down there on the fall, on that end.
Well, he's breaking tackles, Joe, but sometimes when you're doing that breaking tackles, you're spinning and the ball gets a little bit away from your body.
Yep.
And somebody sticks a hand in there and it pops loose, and that's what happened, and the other guy gets it.
Guess who recovered the fumble? Tyler Underwood.
We've called his name a lot tonight.
Yes,
he might
sir,
be the Chevrolet $1,000 scholarship player of the game.
Running to this side, gave it off to Perkle. Perkle gets about 5 or 6 quick ones off this side behind Craig and McElroy and gets about 4, second down 6. 9:59 now, 34-8 is your score. KT on the far side is the receiver. Malcolm Mitchell, receiver on the near side. Caleb Cooper up. Running back's going to be 11, Jackson Perkle. Brooks Bryan takes it, hands it off to Perkle. Perkle busts around, forgot the first down to the 45-46-yard line.
Ball once again carried by number 11 for the Bears. First down.
They're just going to be intent right here, Michael and Harper and Gary, to run the football, I would think. As long as they keep getting first downs, they might as well.
Yeah, big Aiden Willis with a nice hole that he created there on the left-hand side. One of the first times that you're able to get the first down and then some that Cherokee Bluff has had today in the running game.
Alou on that stop, it was number 11 tackling number 11.
First down, ball's at the 46-yard line for Cherokee Bluff. Cooper in the slot, hands off to Perkle that time. Perkle's going to go through there and get about 3 or 4 yards, about 4 out down to midfield at the 50. Tackle that time by number 55, Sheldon Maynard. Second down, 6 yards to go.
Want to say a special thank you.
You're
going to
see some slowing down here a little bit with 26 seconds on the play clock.
Yeah, I would think you're right.
Guys aren't going to be rushing to get the line of scrimmage as much, Gary.
Yeah, and the other guy, you know, you're trying to catch him and you're more than 3 scores down, so.
Out to Millsap. Millsap caught it around the 44. He's going to be down to about the 38-yard line. Going to be tackled right there by number 16, Ethan Clifford, one of the defensive backs for West Hall.
And that could have been – that was close to another stiff arm face mask there.
Mm-hmm. They're getting it up there high, and I think it's because West Hall's dropping their head enough to make the tackle. Boom, you put your hand up, and there's the face mask. First down to the 38-yard line of West Hall now. Clock turning at 8 minutes. Remaining in the contest is now we've got a stoppage of play, and let's see what it is.
Chains are not tight at the moment. They got to reset them.
Okay.
You need a couple seconds to do it.
Now they're going to take a TV timeout. Even though we have TV, the officials timeout as they go to each sideline right here.
And, Joe, while we've got a chance, we'll give some scores here. There'll be no GNN Friday Night Lights this evening because of still problems with stations down in South Georgia with the Hurricanes, but we'll have music in between end of our game and 11 o'clock with the final score. We'll get back to the station as soon as possible. Region score in 8AAA, Oconee County, final score, Oconee County 56, East Hall 7.
Jefferson over Monroe area, 24-14. Habersham and Clark Central tied at 21 in the third quarter. And probably that one's a little behind right there. Jackson Perkle's the running back. No, Tony Rushing in at running back now. First time we've seen him back there.
Great name for a running back.
Exactly.
I'm Rushing.
Indeed.
Two wideouts on the far side. Throwing to one of them. Is that KT? It is. KT caught it to 38 around the 40, 45, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, KT Thompson.
What did I say about not giving him a crack, yep. Giving him a step?
38-yard touchdown pitch and catch from Brian to KT for the score.
His third touchdown of the night, guys.
So he catches the bubble screen, folks, on the left-hand side. He's behind the line of scrimmage. The closest defender to him is Nasir Alou, who's a fast, speedy, two-way guy. They're going to go for two.
Nope,
no, they're
closing
not.
The
swinging
gate.
Yep. But he fakes to the inside, then goes to the outside, goes back to the inside, and then sprints his way, hitting full speed at about the 30-yard line.
Yep.
And then gets himself to the to the sideline for the touchdown.
PAT is up and it is good. It is 41-8 with 7:16 remaining.
And we're back with more in 1 minute here on 97.5 Glory FM.
This is Matt Nix, president of Duplicating Products, where we're proud to celebrate 50 years of serving North Georgia. Since 1974, Duplicating Products has been dedicated to providing top quality office solutions and exceptional service. Our success would not have been possible without the support of our incredible community and loyal customers. Thank you for being an important part of our journey. Find out more about us at duplicatingproducts.com/thank you.
It's flu season in North Georgia, and now is the time to take care of yourself and get your flu shot at Riverside Pharmacy. Nobody wants to be hit with the flu bug, but if you haven't had your shot yet and you've been bitten with the flu, the pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy in Gainesville can help you too. They can fill your prescription with expert care and have you up and going before you know it. And they're your headquarters for all of your over-the-counter needs. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Back here at Spartan Field, after the long 38-yard touchdown pitch and catch, KT Thompson, his third score of the night. Hyder kicks it high, but it's going to be short this time. It'll come out on the far side to Rory at 5, 10, 15. That was Elijah Hayes. And he gets dragged up around his shoulder pads. His helmet comes off in the tackle at the 15-yard line.
That was number 21 coming down the field, Brock Hall, on the kick coverage team. And, yeah, he grabbed up around the shoulder pads and got up under him. It was 9, I think, Joe, on the kickoff return.
Yep. Tony Rushing. And he's the first to pick him up, too.
Yeah.
He just didn't know where to go. I don't mean that to be disrespectful. It's just there wasn't any holes for him. And I can't go up the middle. I want to make this turn this into something. I'm really fast to try to get to the outside, but just too many white jerseys.
Brett Sturm with a running back behind, which is Hayes. Takes the snap. This direction to Hayes. Hayes trying to break it outside. Not going to happen. Oh, wow, he got away from the tackle and flags on
everywhere.
This side of the
yep.
field.
Oh,
on the other side of the
that'll
field.
Be a face mask. We've had another one of those.
Wow.
This side judge over here threw the flag about 15 or 20 yards.
Yes, it is. Straight out and landed right on the 15, and we got a pink one on the far side.
We got a couple pink flags.
There's another yellow one out there at the 31.
Joe, meanwhile, at the end of the third quarter down in Buford, Wolves now leading Collins here 21-7.
It is going to be a first down. It is face mask on Cherokee Bluff. And Harper, you were right. That's like the third time, two offensive, one defensive face mask here in this quarter. Or in this half, excuse me. 7 minutes.
Seventh penalty
second.
That I have, Joe.
Seventh? Wow.
Just in the half, yeah.
Wow. Coach Jones won't be happy about that. Ball's placed out at the first down to 38 as the clock turns. Pitch back to Hayes. Hayes trying to get outside. One guy missed him, and he's going to be knocked down to 38. And a flag.
That's a late hit
by Cooper. Cooper comes up, and now they're getting a little scuffle down there, and flags coming from everywhere. Cut that out, guys. Quit it. Now more guys wanting to get in. I got six flags on the field. Two coaches in the purple jerseys over here talking to their guys. Blue jerseys or blue shirts out there telling their guys to get back in the huddle.
I think we're going to have so many offsetting penalties that there won't be any yardage
for
either one now.
Exactly right.
Yep.
But as long as Raiders not throw anybody out of the game, Joe.
Well, and the thing is, you got two coaches over there. Now, I know what the coaches are trying to do. They want to keep their players in the game, but running out on the field like that?
Yeah, there's a sideline.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a limit there, so I'm wondering if the officials are going to cross.
You're coming.
Pollinate.
You're
they're meeting together right now.
Yeah. Well, you're coming
what
35,
did you see?
40 yards
what
out
did
there.
You see? Mm-hmm. I saw my guy leave the bench.
Yeah. Ray's going, gentlemen, Mr. McCouncer says this, you
they're,
know.
The officials are conferring now.
Yep.
Yeah, they had a couple of the Cherokee Bluff assistant coaches come running all the way across the field
to
try to break up the fight.
Exactly.
Right. So their intention was right, but whether the rule is being enforced here, we still don't know yet. But if there's an official that has a flag in their belt, that's a surprise to me because everybody threw something. The center may have been kicked out of the ball.
He might have because they got another one down there practicing already.
Yeah.
I think he was.
What I think happened there is he pushed one of the, and we're talking about the West Hall center.
Right. Yeah, he's he came off the field in kind of a huff.
But he's out in his suite, though.
And he's all he's back over there behind the bench now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know in hockey, if you're the third guy in a fight, you're probably going to get kicked out of the game.
And Joe, we said so many times, as Coach Niblett at Gainesville said, you can play with emotion, but don't be emotional.
Exactly. And he comes over and talks. White Hat does. Talks to Crofton Montgomery. Tells him what he's got. I'm sure he'll go over and explain it because, you know, now you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, actually all 8 of the purple shirt coaches, 9, because Tommy Jones is standing right there at midfield waiting on an explanation. And, you know, I know they're displeased with their players, but I believe I got them over there with me instead of me out there with them.
Yeah, well, and the you got West Hall assistant coaches on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Too. And Crofton is laying down on the field trying to demonstrate something. I'm not sure what's going on for that.
Now, he's giving Ray an earful, that's for sure. He's not happy with something.
Well, Gary, over there on that sideline, you're going to have to help me because it looks like someone's changed his jersey, and I don't know what it was, but he's trying to get his shoulder pads off. Number 2. Here for West Hall.
They're still going to talk about it as Coach Montgomery is not very happy with whatever the call is.
Well, if he loses a player, I wouldn't be happy either.
Yep. Now the Cherokee Bluff huddles up as a team on the far side.
Yeah, there's a jersey change. I'm not sure what that's about either.
That on the far side?
No, right here.
Right by the tent.
Yeah. All right, 54. Daniel Standridge, the center for West Hall, has been ejected. So he'll be next week, too. I've just got that confirmation from one of the officials up here with the ECO.
A personal foul?
Yeah.
By how many?
Well, we have – he's signaled twice now.
With both of them, one on each side?
Well, both of them are for West Hall at the moment.
Okay.
So Tytrez Statham, who wore number 2, has had a jersey switch.
Okay.
Now he's wearing a different jersey. Maybe he's going to go in and play center.
He might be. He might be the one that's going in to be center now.
Joe, you tell me, is there the rules in high school about the numbers you got to have on the line of scrimmage, that kind of thing?
No. And there used to be, but we saw last week we had a low number, one in the 0 to 20 range as a center a couple weeks ago, Mike. So you had to be between, 50 and 79 on the line, but now they changed that. Yeah, it'll be against West Hall. One man's been ejected. That was their center. The new center, I think, is number 60. Bryce Brown. See if Gary can see that.
I think he's going to play guard.
Okay. There's first down
50,
in a long way.
51 is your new center.
51. That's Anthony Earl. And they're letting him practice a couple of times in there before they get started. Nice of them to do that. First and forever, ball's at the 23-yard line.
Is that like a relief pitcher getting a few tosses?
A few tosses, exactly.
Before we go live again?
Exactly. Well, he probably doesn't want him to short arm it, you know, like a pitcher would. Second down. Sturm puts a man in motion. Three wideouts on the far side. Sturm looking to pass. Throws it right over the middle. Got a man complete. Going to be a first down at the 49 of Cherokee Bluff.
Boy, then he was nailed by Landon Kemp.
Landon picked him up basically and threw him down right there. He came down hard on an ankle, and he's still squatted down right there. That is KC Staten. That is down right there. KC still down. The trainer is going to come out and check him. I don't know if he rolled an ankle or what happened right there when he fell, but the trainer's out checking on him. He did get the first down. Huge pitch and catch for the Spartans.
Well, he came down, and at the moment his toes touched the turf, Landon Kemp lit him up.
Well, you got to stick the landing, and sometimes you don't, and that's what happened to your feet.
Exactly.
Well, it's the first time tonight that you run an all-go route, and you've got more than one guy open, and your quarterback has enough time to be able to get the ball down the field.
Right.
Well, Casey's walking off. I think he got hit in the back. Maybe he got his wind knocked out of him. I certainly hope he didn't get his kidneys or anything like that damaged. Sometimes those lower back injuries, they'll stick with you for a little while.
Especially if you don't have the padding that comes down.
You got nothing below middle of your rib cage.
First down for the Spartans. First down the Spartans at the 49 of Cherokee Bluff. 6:39 as the clock turns. One running back. New man this time. Three wideouts on this side. Sturm in the gun. Gets the turns right over the top. Now he's got to roll out to the far side. Going to get tackled from behind. Right there by Cherokee Bluff. Knocks him down. That's number 50. Knocks him down.
Landon Graber.
Junior knocks him down right there for Cherokee Bluff. Knocked him down for a big sack right there. That's about a nine-yard loss. Second down, 19.
Graber was the grabber that time and knocked him down. He's a junior, Landon is.
Hey, wait, three wide outs.
Well, Elijah Hayes has been out now ever since that last big penalty.
Yep. Sturm, high snap. Going to have to roll out there. He's in no man's land. He throws it. Somebody caught it right there at the 45. Flag down at the 38. Somebody caught it and got back across the 45 to the 46, but you got a flag at the 38.
Reception. Wait a minute, Joe's top of the arrow. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
97.5 Glory FM is WTTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
So back here, it's 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Rich Mesidor caught the ball, but it's going to be a penalty against West Hall, something they didn't really need to get. The ball will be at the 37-yard line. I think it's still going to be second down. Well, they're still looking like they're going to mark out some more. Who knows?
Well, Elijah's back in the ball game.
Okay.
But out is Kendrick Tarnia.
Okay.
That huge offensive lineman they've got.
Zach Wagner was in the game there, running back a few moments ago. Second down and forever. Ball's on the 36, 37. How with a head snap. Sturm, all he can do is lay on it. He picks it up. Now he's going to try and run. Got away from a guy, throws it. The man is wide open at the 50. Holy cow.
Oh.
48, 40, 30.
That's Chuck 10, Rory. 5, Chuck
touchdown. Wow.
That's a 68-yard touchdown after a snap that went 5 yards over his head.
The coffin fit hit me at the wrong time, but wow, Sturm made lemonade out of that lemon for sure. It came back there over his head, picked it up, rolled around, completed it to a man. It was wide open down there. Sorry caught it and sprinted in because there was no white jerseys around Harper and got the long touchdown.
Well, Cherokee Bluff is guilty of everything. It's going after a loose ball, but not getting the guy that had the ball.
Yep.
You got strummed down, and it's not a play. They're going to go for two. What an amazing! That'll be a highlight reel somewhere. If there's a film of that, that'll last for quite a while. That'll be a legendary touchdown. Another
bad snap. Sturm gets it, rolls out to the far side, looking, going to be run out of bounds. Dives to the end zone. No, it's AJ. Oh. It's short. Wow. I might have given it to him just on effort, but he was a yard short. Wow.
Well, they say 41-14. We can't review that. He got across the goal line, but I think his knee touched.
41-14 with 4:50 remaining.
And back with the kickoff in 1 minute from Oakwood on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. They're who I use for home security and cameras, and you should too. I've scouted them all, and there's no better choice. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Back here at Westall High School, the Hot Gates of Spartan Field. An amazing play by both Brett Sturm and Shaka Rory right there to get a touchdown out of look like disaster back there as a snap went over the quarterback's head.
Cherokee
he was able
Bluff
to roll out and score. Wow.
They were bringing the whole team, Joe, because they knew they had him. Mm-hmm. They knew they had him pinned for a deep, deep loss. And that's why there was nobody back there with those two guys. There were actually two guys open. And Rory was the one that stepped up and caught that answer. That prayer was answered and took it to the house.
Avila will now kick it. 41. Oh, it's going to be an onside kick. Comes to this side.
They got
it. It just kicked it out of bounds. Wow. And he had them fooled right there, guys, because the white shirts were going towards the ball, and the gray shirts knew where it was going, but just a little too much juice on it. And it'll be out of bounds. It went the 10 yards, but it will be Cherokee Bluffs football at the 47.
Well,
they almost got it.
Yep, almost. As my friend Phil Schaefer used to say, numbers in reverse, 41-14. Took people a while to figure out what he was talking about. 41-14, numbers in reverse.
You're bringing math up again, Gary. You know you're going to lose me with all that math. What a great idea.
This is more visual.
Absolutely. What a great kick. If the coverage guy, the one that's closest to the sideline, had stayed in between the bottom of the numbers and the hash, and the sideline, he would have got that ball. Mm-hmm. But he followed in too tight, and unfortunately, Westall didn't get the ball back. But Cherokee Bluff will have it at the 47-yard line.
Flip-flop a couple receivers from one side to the other. Bryce Brown with the football. Brown's going to hand off to his big running back. He's going to get maybe a yard, if that much. Running back is Tony Rushing.
They went with that heavy formation to the left again. And ran to the left, and I'd be surprised if they don't do a whole lot more of that kind of stuff here with 4:42 on a rolling clock in the fourth.
Maddox Sudilovich and Eric Johansson in his tight ends and blocking backs for Cherokee Bluff. 2 yard gain, second down, 8 yards to go, ball on about the 49, 4:28 in a running clock. Rushing in it, running back. Two guys out wide, looks like Kemp out in front, and they're going to milk the clock with KT behind him. Going to hand off to Rushing. Rushing trying to get around the far side, can't do it. A couple of those big linemen, Vaughn and like Maynard may have got in there and helped stop him. He got about another yard, maybe out to the 50. It'll be third down and 7 now for the Bears.
Well, Zach Wagner was pushing him back, and then Wagner put his hands up and said, okay, I'm done. I heard the whistle.
Yep.
You don't have any more of this stuff. Yeah, nobody else getting kicked out tonight.
Cooper Dean is the quarterback now.
Third down on the 50-yard line. Let's get on our feet, Spartan fans. Make some noise.
Yes, Cooper
Spartans
Dean
coming up third down.
He's a junior.
Okay.
He'll be in the shotgun.
number five. Give him some playing time now. Tony rushing the running back. He'll get it again. Across the 50. Down to about the 46-yard line. He's going to be short of the first down. It'll be fourth down and about three now. Let's see if they go for it. I would think they'd go for it.
I think they would, too. Mm-hmm. I would.
3:11 now. The clock turns.
Short carry by Cherokee Bluff brings it into the 49-yard line. 2 yards to go for the first down. We are
don't know if I run up down. The middle. They haven't had great success up the middle.
Yep.
As Gary mentioned, that power left formation, and that's what they're going to line up in right now. Worked earlier here in this drive.
Underwood on the near side. Brock Hall on the far side of receivers. And he's going to flip-flop those two receivers, such as Lovich
tight ends, yep.
And Johansson.
Trying to get him to
fourth
jump.
Down, three. The play clock went off. That'll be a penalty and knock them back 5 yards. They might have been wanting to do a draw the penalty.
Trying to go
or,
draw them.
Or have them a better angle at a punt maybe or something right there.
Well, they were trying to draw them offside.
Draw them off,
and
yeah.
That didn't work. So, yeah, now maybe you punt. Put them deep in a hole.
2:34 remaining in the game now.
Well, they called the penalty, but they haven't moved the ball yet. There we go. All right, now they're going to move
it. Must have to write it down. I think most of the time, if you don't have somebody up here to write it down, then somebody down there has to write it down. So I know on personal fouls that white hat and the umpire have to write them down. Fourth down now. They'll punt it. Hyder back to punt. Looks like Rory back to catch it at about the 10. Hyder kicks it a low line drive. He's going to call fair catch and leave it alone. Balls will hit at the 15. Roll inside the 10, down to about the 7. And
42-yard punt.
42-yarder?
Yep.
And it'll be a first down for West Hall.
West Hall fans, let's make
7 yards.
It is our ball. Right. It is our time.
Hyder was just trying to pooch that one.
Yep.
Didn't put a whole lot of leg into it.
Clark Central back on top of Habersham Central, 28-21. I don't know if that might be a final now.
Late fourth quarter.
Late fourth. Wyandabara losing to Loganville by 3, 31-28. 21-7, Buford over Collins Hill. That's a big game because Collins Hill was undefeated, if I think right there, Mike.
They were.
Wesleyan on top of Mount Vernon. Jefferson 38-14 on Monroe. They'll win that big region game. First down at the 7. Gonna try and power right up the middle. Elijah gets it. He's gonna turn and twist his way out to about the 10.5 yard line. About a 3 yard pickup. It'll be second down and 7.
11-yard line. Second down for the West Hall Spartans.
Follow up on some more. West Forsyth beating Forsyth Central 30-7. Jackson County 22-0 over Appalachie. Elbert County over Providence Christian 48-6. Pitch back as Stern was under center that time to Hayes. Hayes trying to get around the corner. He's going to get drugged down about the 19 by Tyler Underwood. Going to be short of the first down by about 3 yards. It'll be third down and 3. And I'm 44.
I'm wondering how many yards Elijah's going to have tonight. He's had a few runs, and they just kept giving it to him. And he's had 3, 4, you know, sometimes 6, 7 yards. That'll be interesting.
He's probably going to be close to 100.
I would not. I'm thinking maybe that.
In the shotgun. Zach Wagner back there with him. Flip-flopping some receivers. 3 on the near side. Ball on the far hash mark. Going to put Zach beside him on his right. Takes it. Going to take it himself. It's Sturm. Sturm trying to bounce out. Came out of the – looked like a mouthpiece came out. But I think he got the first down out to the – 17-yard line.
Yep.
They're saying, yep. Mm-hmm. Look like a mouthpiece came bouncing out of there.
Sure
Gary.
Did. Yep.
First down.
No face mask, at least not this time. They've already burned their allotted number of face mask penalties
for
half.
The night.
Yeah.
Well. First down at the 17 now. 1:17 and running. Unit final from Ringgold. Ringgold beats Union County 31-0. Hayes carries it again. He's trying to get through the 20 out to the 21. Maybe the 22 is where he rolls down at. It's about 5 on the carry. As we're under a minute now, 57 seconds.
Took about 5 of the Bears to bring him down, too.
Bringing us to second down for the Spartans.
Oh, he's the real deal.
Yep.
Time for about one more play.
I think Elijah can play at the next level. He might not be D1, but I'm definitely thinking play at 2, especially 3 or 2 for sure. Second down, 5 yards to go. Elijah going to be in motion this time. Sturm back there looking to pass. Going to throw it. A lob up to Elijah. Oh, intercepted. Got there by number six. He caught it, and that is Malcolm Millsap. And he's a defensive back that caught it, and then he got tackled by number nine, I think it was.
Elijah
made the tackle.
Too much air under that one.
Yep. Elijah got kind of twisted around there. And, excuse me. At the 40-yard
line. Well, Elijah was running his right. He was in motion at the time the ball was snapped. He's where the top of the numbers are, expecting the ball to be somewhere between the top of the numbers and the hash mark. And the ball was between the bottom of the numbers and the sideline, so he couldn't find it. Millsaps does. Remember, Millsap, at the early beginning of this game, he had that post route that he dropped. Then he gets a touchdown and another big play here. He's had a nice evening.
Yep.
Yeah, and wasn't he the one that made that spectacular catch when he laid out?
Well, I think he did.
Yeah. He did.
He made a good catch. First down now, ball's at the 40. We're at 26 seconds, so I would think they'd take the knee.
I think so. I think you're
Cooper Dean in at the quarterback position.
Here.
Right up under center. He'll take it, take a step back, take a knee. And that should be your ball game. Nobody's going to call a timeout, I wouldn't think. 21 and 20 is going to run it down. Both teams going to the sideline. That'll be the end of your ball game. Cherokee Bluff wins this H3A game, region game, 41-14.
And the Bears approved a 6-0 of the season, 1-0 in region play. Spartans dropped to 4-3 overall. They're 0-2 in region action.
Please stay and show your support to these bands.
They do hands out there. Gary's going to, I think, try to talk to Coach Tommy Jones after all that's done.
See if I can track him down.
You got to hurry because the bands are about to hit the field for their halftime shows.
Oh, they can wait. They'll be fine. They got all night.
Yeah, we got.
So the Bears win 41-14.
As always, go Spartans!
Tommy has just given some folks some congratulations here.
Well, Gary, last time they played, I should say 3 weeks ago, he recorded career win number 100. Now this is 101.
Well, I know he may not be real happy with the number of penalties that took place in the second half.
Second half, right.
But Gary shaking hands.
It was a game of two halves with Harper.
Well, from a sloppiness perspective, yeah, but the damage was done there in the first half.
I think
he'd be very happy with the way his team played there for the first 24 minutes.
Tommy wanted another word with Crofton Montgomery.
Yeah.
So they're chatting a little bit.
They're making sure.
And good friends, too.
Here we go.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey! Just another second. They're having a.
Let's hear what Papa Bear has to say.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Coach, I'm not quite sure this particular game here. At times you look like you're kind of rusty in the 3 week late, and at times you look like you're in midseason form, and then things just got kind of wild. Your assessment of the game?
Yeah, I mean it was there were some things we did really well. You know, I mean I think we scored on every possession in the first half, at least a field goal, and then second half we didn't come out near as crisp and as sharp as we should have, and part of that were just a handful of penalties against us that kept us from being able to move the ball like we wanted to.
What's the best thing you saw other than getting a region win here after coming off of that long layoff?
Yeah, I thought our kids were itching and ready to play. I thought the mistakes that we made were not effort, and in a lot of ways they weren't even execution. They were just some just penalties that we had that kept us from being able to move the ball like we wanted to. Defensively, I thought we did a really good job. I mean, we had a couple mental busts where they got behind us a little bit, but other than that, it was a good night.
And your special teams did pretty well, too. And Hyder happens to be a weapon. I mean, when you get it close, you can count on three.
Yeah, he's done a great job. He really has. Special teams did very well.
All right. And your quarterback tonight performed pretty well. He saw the people in the seam and hit them.
Brooks Bryan does a great job for us. He's excellent. And complete a lot of passes. I'll be interested in what the stats are. We'll have a chance to look at them later.
All right, Coach. Enjoy this one. It's a region win.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. There you go. Tommy Jones.
All right. He's one of the best. We call him Papa Bear there at Cherokee Bluff. Win number 101 for Tommy and his career from Lumpkin County to Tequila now at Cherokee Bluff. Coming up next, we'll recap tonight's ball game. Final score, Cherokee Bluff 41, West Hall 14 on 97.5 Glory FM.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Your home is part of you, and keeping it comfortable and well-maintained is essential. Conditioned Air Systems is North Georgia's solution for residential heating, air, and plumbing services. For more than 40 years, our family has been committed to delivering the highest quality service by our certified technicians and plumbers. Experience the difference today when you choose Conditioned Air Systems for your home's heating, air, and plumbing needs. Quality you can feel, service you can trust. Visit conditionedairsystems.com to schedule an appointment.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
As an electric cooperative, Jackson EMC must always have an eye on the future, exploring the newest innovations taking place in every area of our business. Ideas that lead to a better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business. Automated switch technology, iPads in the field, and internal networking that enable us to pinpoint outages, access complex mapping, and provide faster response times. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
Hey, we're back here at the Hot Gates of Spartan Field as Cherokee Bluff wins by a final score of 41-14. And Cherokee Bluff scored every time they had the football except to end the first half of play. They took the opening kickoff and drove it downfield and had a short run, what Joe called the Bearcat, with KT Thompson, one of his three touchdowns this evening, making it 7-0. Then they came back and had a field goal. Then they had this touchdown run.
Handing off to Perkle again. Perkle with a hole. 40, 35, 30. One man to beat, and he does. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Bears.
And they have a potent attack running the football and also passing the football at Cherokee Bluff. They had the next touchdown run in the first half.
Throws out to the far side, KT at the 40, 45, 50. One man to beat. Oh, he's going down the sideline, 30, 20, 10. Touchdown there. Flag, do I see a flag? Nope. No laundry on the field. That's a touchdown for the Bears.
That was KT Thompson's second touchdown of the first half of the play. And then it was one more touchdown for the Bears in the first half.
Quarterback will take it himself, and the tush push works. 30-0, Bears.
They led 31-0 at halftime. And then in the second half, the Bears started committing some mistakes as West Hall got on the scoreboard with two touchdowns here. The first one that took place in the third quarter.
Sturm gets it, hands it off to Elijah. Elijah.
Here we go.
Blocks the guy. Gets around the 25, 20, 15, 10. One guy to beat. Touchdown, Spartan.
And that's one reason that Elijah Hayes could be close to the 100-yard mark with another outstanding run for the Spartans. They scored two touchdowns in the second half of play. And here was the last one of the ball game.
Ball's on the 36, 37. How over the head snap. Sturm, all he can do is lay on it. He picks it up. Now he's going to try and run. Got away from the guy, throws it. The man is wide open at the 50. Holy cow.
Oh.
48, 40, 30.
That's
10, 5, touchdown.
And so that touchdown we just heard there, one of the wildest plays we've seen in a long, long time with that touchdown pass from Brett Sturm.
It was, and I'm sorry I had one of my normal coughing fits right there. But, yeah, Sturm had it hiked, had it snapped over his head with that new center in there. And when it did, he scrambled back, picked it up, scrambled out towards the sideline, towards his sideline, just threw it up, and he had a man, Rory, way back behind him, who caught it around the 48 and then sprinted to the end zone, basically untouched for the touchdown out there. Harper, well of a play. You talking about making lemonade out of lemons. He did it on that one, for sure.
He sure did. And, you know, if they had something like that earlier in the ball game, yeah, maybe that would have been a momentum mm-hmm. swing for West in a way that would have gotten him in the ball game a little bit more. That first half really hurt him. They weren't able to move the ball. I've said this on numerous occasions, and maybe it applies tonight. If you're playing against Michael Jordan and he averages 35 points a game, but he only gets 27 against you, that's technically a win. You've yeah. got to find 5 or 6 points that you can have managed the game that yeah. makes it a little bit more in your favor, at least mm-hmm. the odds. You slow down Elijah Hayes.
Yeah.
If you're Cherokee Bluff, you slowed Strom down a little bit. He didn't have anywhere close to them. Neither one of them had. And so guess what? You're ahead 31-0 because wow. they couldn't run the ball, and they aren't very good passing it. And when you forced them to pass, the results were, I've got a huge lead.
Right.
Hard right. wrestling right there. We see, in my mind, is that West Hall is basically one-dimensional with Elijah Hayes, whereas Cherokee Bluff is loaded in so many different departments.
Well, when you can get Elijah outside and inside, but they didn't let him go outside today, and they just were able, they went with quicker, smaller guys in the interior of the defense, and I'm talking about Cherokee Bluff here, and they were just stunting gaps, and Elijah was getting hit or having to move before he got to the line of scrimmage mm-hmm. on numerous occasions. I don't think he's used to that,
right.
and that created some havoc in their running game, and when it's 2nd and 10, when it's 3rd and 9, you can't call the same type of
plays. Well, Harper, you made a good point. You and Gary did there in the first half about how quickly the defensive line for Cherokee Bluff was getting into the offensive line or getting through the offensive line and slowing, making it very tough for Sturm and for Elijah tonight in the backfield. So for him to get, you know, 100 yards or close to 100 yards rushing is pretty doggone good with the attack that we saw on.
But he's used to getting about 180. So
right.
that's a
exactly.
win if I'm Cherokee Bluff's exactly. defensive coordinator. Yep. I held their best guy down to a little bit more than half
right.
Of his normal average.
Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you're going to win the ball game, which they did tonight,
sure.
41-14.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they took the will out of the sideline, you know, the momentum. And they had a full crowd here tonight, but they didn't, in my opinion, Gary was down there, could hear the people in that direction. They didn't have a lot to cheer about.
Yep.
They just didn't, at least on the West Hall side. And now they're going to be fighting for their playoff lives here for the rest of the season.
Yep.
No doubt about
sure.
that. This was a Region 8 AAA game again. The Spartans dropped to 0-2. Cherokee Bluff 1-0, 4 straight games left on the schedule for the Spartans with some big region games for Tommy Jones' team, Joe.
Yeah, they've got some big ones left. You know, when you look at Monroe area, you look at Jefferson and
Oconee County,
they got, and all three of those teams, you know, are really solid. So it's going to be a dogfight for those four here at the end of the season.
Next week, we're up at North Hall at the Brickyard at Lincoln Trail Stadium to see Greater Atlanta Christian take on North Hall, and that could be for the number one spot in the region because mm-hmm. North Hall's undefeated and Greater Atlanta Christian's undefeated. And the reason one of those two teams will be the number one team.
Well, it might wind up being an offensive shootout because both teams have been, of course, North Hall's been scoring a lot of points lately. They had the week off tonight. And GAC, you know, are capable of scoring some points. So we'll see. You know, I think the good thing is for North Hall, they're getting to play at home.
And we'll be there at the Brickyard next Friday night. It all begins with the Longstreet Cafe pregame show at 7:05 with Joe, Gary, Harper, and I. And the kickoff of Friday Night Football in North Georgia will be at 7:30. Once again tonight at West Hall, you hear the bands in the background. Homecoming for West Hall, but it was all Cherokee Bluff. Bears win by a score of 41-14. And for the entire sports team at 97.5 Glory FM, for producer Nathan Laddy, for Joe Gailey, Gary Glenn, and for Harper LaBell, I'm Mike Weinfurt. You've been tuned to high school football on 97.5 Glory FM. Stay tuned for the final score at 11.
This has been Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM. Tonight's game was brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC, Duplicating Products, Riverside Pharmacy, EMC Security, Siphon Logistics, and by North Hall Tire and Wheel. Join us next week for more exciting high school football on 97.5 Glory FM. This has been a sports presentation of WGTJ Radio, your radio station for North Georgia sports.